B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And we begin this Friday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Much appreciated that you have decided to get up early with us and hang out. Bradford White Water Heaters brings you the 6 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Bradford White is here for the pro. We're going to go against what Coach's suggestion was that we would start the show today on the show sheet with J.J. Redick as a Hall of Famer. We're gonna stay away from that topic. First off, because it's false. Second of all, we're just going to stay away from that topic.
All I said was he was close. And I heard Anthony explode the other day. J.J. Redick, who cares J.J. Redick's retired? I hate the face. And I went, really?
Well, I sort of feel the same way about J.J. Redick. Not like that.
Yeah, he was a pretty enjoyable three years.
But my thing is J.J. Redick to me is a transient Philadelphia sports figure. Transient.
Yeah,
at best.
He is. But I enjoyed his time here. I didn't feel any ill will towards him.
No, not ill will. It's just I don't think he made a footprint that goes, wow.
It was fun years. But yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
You had more fun with him than I did, I guess.
I liked having a shooter like that. It was fun.
Be nice. We'll see as we get started this morning.
Get some more of those.
My wife liked it when he was here.
Yeah, the ladies love JJ.
Oh, yeah. Christina thought he was a...
Yeah.
She didn't understand all the tats.
Yeah.
She didn't understand the tats everywhere.
Took 6 hours. The first time he sat down to get them, took 6 hours on one arm, and then he had to go back and get it finished up, and he told me it was going to take about 4 more hours. About 10 hours on his arm to get all those tats.
I will tell you right now that in my portfolio, there is an investment in a tattoo removal company that hopes to be a nationwide chain, and I believe they will be... In 10 to 15 years, I believe they will be in every single community. That'll be the thing.
Tattoos are probably big with Eagles in Dallas.
I think they are. Pat, how are you today, Patty?
Oh, I'm good.
You sure?
Good, yeah, Coach is already pissing me off.
Pat, it's moving day, so I need you to be nice and calm today, nice and relaxed. Tell Coach no more 5-hour. He has 5-hour energy and Red Bull, which Coach doesn't need.
What are you doing? And he got a coffee down there, too.
And coffee. That's just what we need, Coach, on edge.
And he has flour.
It's moving day, Coach. I don't need any of this today.
I need a mound of flour today. In front of him.
All right, I agree with Nick Sirianni. And this is how we'll get started, which will really get you all fired. The Eagles and the Cowboys are an amazing rivalry. Yep, it's an amazing rivalry. And I've been impressed with a lot of his early actions. So you're going to say, why do I care about a T-shirt? The Beat Dallas t-shirt means very little, I know. But what I'm about to say is just all about preference. It's a preference. The t-shirt connects with the fans. Yay. I don't want my coach to be a fan. I want my coach to connect with the fan base over winning. The last Eagles coach that tried to do this connection, but look, Beat Dallas, and let's wear the shirts and do... was a guy named Buddy Ryan. There was lots of bravado, zero winning of consequence. Not one playoff win. It connected great with the fans. I have met more empty-headed Eagle fans over the years that have tried to convince me about how great the Buddy Ryan years were. Entertaining? Yeah. Successful? Zero. Nothing. Zilch. Nothing. Andy Reid? Dick Vermeil, I'm just thinking, Bill Belichick, the successful coaches of the game. Look, it's just a shirt. I get it. But I'm not worried about my coach worried about imagery and connecting with the fans and connecting with, let me do the Bryce Harper routine. I'm just not there for it. I hope Nick turns out to be a spectacular coach. But I got to tell you, every time I see it, it just doesn't connect as true to me, this whole T-shirt thing. It's a lighthearted start to the Friday morning. John Kincaid, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. Connor is answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975. And Mike's directing on YouTube, so you get a chance to check out Mike. And everybody who's streaming this morning, we appreciate you. Listening along on the radio, we love you here on the John Kincaid Show. It's just a shirt. I'm not saying it's anything more. I just want my coach worried about other stuff. And being concerned about connecting with the fan base. Just win. Just win games. I'm not worried about it. Like, and that's what I want you to connect with.
I don't care about t-shirts. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. I don't, you know. Andy Reid wears Tommy Bahamas all the time. That's his look. Bill Belichick, you think he doesn't know that fans love it? That
yeah, but he's not
off?
Pandering to a fan. He's not pandering. Andy Reid wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt is because he's a big man. He's large.
It's his look.
He's large. Yeah, but he's not. But he's not trying to make a connection by here's my Iverson shirt and here's my Philly stuff.
How much time out of yesterday's day do you think it took Nick Sirianni to put on that shirt?
It's the thought that he cares about it, Bob.
It really bothers you, in all honesty.
No, I'm saying it doesn't connect with me.
Okay,
it looks disingenuous. To me, it looks like I'm doing this on purpose because I'm going to get a chucklehead to go, hey, he's one of us. He doesn't know anything about the Eagles-Dallas rivalry. He knows nothing about it.
He's starting to feel it. And he's starting.
He knows nothing about it.
He wants to get in on it.
He doesn't feel Eagles-Dallas. He can't fill a shot glass with any feeling about this rivalry. Hasn't coached in it yet. And I'm sure you can hear about it all you want.
Well, knowing the football nerd he is, I'm sure he dove headfirst into it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And looked at Landry tape and, you know, like stuff
but
like that.
But you don't feel it.
Sure.
There's no feeling it.
I view him as Ted Lasso. I really do. I think
what is Ted Lasso?
He is a warm-hearted, positive, overly...
He's wonderful.
Build
wonderful.
The confidence
he's
of your team.
He's a wonderful person.
Yeah, he just seems like a Joe average guy. He goes to the pub and he has a beer with the fans. He's... You know, he's got some issues that he deals with off the field, but he's overtly positive in the building. I literally,
by design?
Yeah.
Correct.
I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, I just view him as a positive force. If I don't know, yeah, it's pandering, but I like it.
Okay. No, I mean, I look at it and I say, it's just to me, it's not genuine. That's not genuine. I'm doing something to get a reaction out of people. I just want Nick Sirianni to be a great football coach. And by the way, there's a lot of things that have convinced me to say, I'm going to give this guy a real chance because I've been impressed with a lot of stuff. Every time I hear him talk football.
Yeah, his press conference yesterday was good.
I really enjoy it.
He's not arrogant at all. He explains things well.
He answers questions. He doesn't act defensive.
It might not be genuine to you, but I believe it's genuine to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe he thinks that's important to his philosophy of coaching and building this program up. I think he believes it's important. So if it's important to him, why would I care?
That could be a good point. That could be a good point.
And you know what? He's probably gotten good reaction from the players. Because if you go in and you do this and you're trying to win over a room and it comes off, they're looking at you like, yeah, okay, dude. You're going to feel that and you're not going to do it anymore. I think the players probably like it. So he's thought, okay, they like this. Even if they're joking with me, let's keep doing it.
Pat, where do you fall?
No problems. It does not affect me one bit. I couldn't care less. Yeah, it's pander. Absolutely, it is. I don't blame him. If I were him, I'd probably pander.
No,
I'd pander
wouldn't.
Hard.
Would you really?
No.
I've never said, like who are the other coaches that come in and pander?
It makes his life probably easier, especially from the way that he started out. I don't necessarily blame him for doing what he's doing after his initial press conference when all that everyone could focus on is we got the wrong guy. Like, he knows. He knows that he only really had one interview. He knows that Schefter came on here and said that, yeah, from all reports, people say that he's a decent football mind, but he's probably not the guy. Like, he's aware. So he's trying to gain public support. I can't blame him for that. I don't care.
You're not running for... The thing is, though, you want to run for mayor of Philadelphia? First of all, you've got arguably... I think it's the most important job in this city.
It's up there.
As far as the amount of people who are truly affected by your actions, Eagles head coach inspires, it's terrible to say that. And I'm not trying to belittle public servants and everything.
I mean,
I'm
a good technical producer of the John Cage.
But I think the Eagles head coach is maybe the most important job in this city. You just win. Like, don't worry about pandering to me. You know what? I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you because and he's winning me over by being a football coach. I don't need that. I look at it and I go, you're forcing it, dude. You're really forcing it. And I understand it's not a big deal. doesn't it is not affecting negatively like the enjoyment of the games or otherwise.
I just sent you a text teasing you. I said, are you really talking like this? Is this really a topic? Put it this way, real quick. Will him wearing a t-shirt prevent him from winning?
No.
But you're just saying, just win.
No.
This doesn't stop that.
But I want to have a genuine connection with you.
Yeah.
If you show up, first of all, he knows nothing about Eagles Dallas. He knows nothing about it. He'll know Monday. He'll feel it a little bit Monday. He can go to YouTube and watch as many videos as he wants. He doesn't care like the plumber does, the electrician does, the mailman does, the bartender does, every single person who's grown up an Eagles fan in this town. He doesn't get that connection yet.
Like
he wants
man,
to get
like
it.
Pump Man Philly.
Pump Man Philly gets it. Oh, Pump Man gets it.
He gets it. He absolutely
the Pump gets Man gets it.
He doesn't, but he wants to get it.
I understand. Then just
so that's cool to me that he wants to integrate himself into the community and kind of. I enjoy it.
He's like, diving in deep.
Yeah, like he's like,
Pump Man's been known to dive in deep too.
Yeah, he's saying screw it. Like let me ingratiate myself. I have a buddy that their kids go to the same daycare. And they said he's, like, very great with the parents.
He seems like a great guy.
Everybody loves him so far. I think he really wants to make this work and be a part of the community.
I have a friend who overheard a conversation with him, and he was complaining about I-76 and the traffic. He said, you know, the moment it opened, it was obsolete.
Bob, maybe it's because of the fact that the coaches I tend to like tend to be very businesslike. The coaches that I'm drawn to, the coaches that I've seen have great success... I've had some of them with great senses of humor, but the ones that I've admired tend to be tacticians, tend to be
sure
more businesslike, more old school.
Yeah, but all right, old school. Does that cater to the younger people now? Like you and I are the same.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So we grew up the same
way,
was a place to be. But to connect with guys that are in their 20s and stuff now, if we're wearing button-ups and we're doing this or that or the other, maybe that connection doesn't feel right to the 20-year-olds. So he's connecting with them in a way that maybe you and I don't know.
Okay, I would ask,
this
though,
is so funny we're talking about.
Does John Harbaugh connect with the young people? Does Andy Reid connect with the young people?
I would assume so.
Does Bill Belichick does?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick does, despite what we'll talk about later on in the show. I'm like, none of these guys do any of that stuff.
But put yourself in the shoes of a sports talk host in Boston in 1999, and Bill Belichick comes out looking like a slob with his sleeve cut off his hoodie, and he's just a complete Richard on the podium. You're probably going, what's this guy's deal? He can't even dress up for the...
Oh, believe me. I think he's, as a CEO,
yeah,
of my
going,
business,
he's a slob.
I'd be like, what are you presenting yourself like
that
for?
Yeah, you got a mustard stain
for?
On your hoodie. What's the matter
exactly.
with you?
Exactly.
So it's you know, it's just like...
No, I'm just saying to you. Is it?
I hear you, but
I know it just every time. What's it going to be next? Like, what's it going to be next? It's going to be the.
I hope he comes out with swoops head.
He's going to be Sixers
Tuesday morning. Sixers. Swoop head.
No, it's gonna, I'm thinking it's going to be a Flyers shirt next.
Ben sure. Simmons jersey.
It's
going to
be a Flyers shirt, and he's going to wear his Union stuff on Sunday as he's traveling. He'll wear a Union. It to me again. It's just I think he's trying too hard.
I do. I will admit that when I saw him wearing it, I thought, all right, if they're up and they're in the, you know, the kneel down formation, is he going to fake spike it or fake kneel down and throw it?
Oh, I love that. Buddy.
Like, is he going to harken back to those days?
Buddy, that was the best.
I'd be all for that.
It was funny because I thought of you when I heard this at his press conference yesterday, John. It's so funny that you bring this up because when I saw it and heard it yesterday, I immediately thought of you.
Of course.
And when he said, yeah, I have it, my kids have it, my wife has it, we're all going to wear them. And I thought, John's going to talk about this.
You did it.
And then the fact that you brought up to start the show, I think is hysterical.
I mean, in our house, we have Beat Dallas Week. And it's called Beat Dallas Week, and it's on the kitchen chalkboard, and it's just our little tradition. And Christina could not care less.
Hmm.
But she embraces it because Olivia and I have, since she was a little girl, she's gotten into hating Dallas. I hate Dallas. So it's been like something in our household. Then hearing Tunis Tunis and Jamie talk about it. Jamie talk about it, and hearing Anthony get like being pissed that Tunis is in his band with Dallas. Like to me, I can't fathom it. I can't fathom.
I hate them.
No, but I can't fathom.
But I hate the Giants more.
That you don't have the same venom that I have for Dallas.
Because the Giants were good at the same time as the Eagles. Right. The Cowboys never were.
Plus, you had all those Giant fans.
Yeah. New Yorkers really.
You had all those Giant fans that were down in D.C.
Spiked the punch bowl for me.
You and I are definitely Dallas number one if you're listing
Dallas
rivalries,
number one.
Right?
Not even close. And in all of sports, in all of things, I hate that.
But like my formative years was Strahan and Runyon. You know what I mean? Like
I never hated the Giants.
Oh, I hate New York.
See, like our formative years, the Cowboys were way up there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Eagles were down low looking up. And to even be close in a game and then to beat them
in
a playoff, to go to your first Super Bowl, like that'll never leave you and I.
Never,
John.
Never. Yeah. But to me, though, something was brought up yesterday on Cuz's show. I hate the Dallas fans. I think even more than I hate Dallas, because I admired Troy Aikman. I admired Emmitt Smith. I admired Michael Irvin. I loved Jimmy Johnson as a coach.
It's fun to laugh at them.
Like, I hate Dallas. The Dallas cockroach, oh, I live in Pensauken, New Jersey, and I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan because my Uncle Vinny, he hated the Eagles, and the Eagles sucked, so we watched Dallas. Like, that guy drives me freaking nuts.
I have family members.
And I hate that.
Yeah,
like,
so
to
do
me,
I.
That's, I think, so I know, I'm not sure if it's Dallas fans that I hate. I think it's, no, I am sure. It's the cockroach Dallas fans.
Outside
it's not
of Dallas.
The people who grew up in Dallas.
Yeah, sure.
Because we've done that before. We did it
They're nice down there.
We did it for a game once down in Atlanta where I asked the Cowboy fans, we went to the stadium and did a, here's a map of Texas. Put the star where Dallas is in Texas. On the state of Texas. Come up and put the star where it is. And it took 17 people to get it right.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
No.
They have no idea. They have no idea where Dallas is. They have no idea about it. They just clinged onto a team.
I used to always say to people that were up here that were Dallas fans, if they win the Super Bowl, you going to the parade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they'd be like, well,
I'm just going to walk around.
Okay.
I'm just going
to
walk around.
How many games you been to?
I've never been down there. I've never seen people that hide their gear, too. When they're 4-12... When they're 5-11, I don't see a stinking Cowboys hat.
Well, that's because they've moved on to the Lakers.
Exactly. Hey, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store is Royal Billiard and Recreation since 1982. They've been providing the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. And the man cave is now in possession. So I don't know. Could be soon.
Homeowner.
Phillies won. Aaron Nola is an ace.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's great. Another ace-like performance from Aaron Nola last night.
Finished strong.
Where did you watch the game,
John? Oh, stop it. In my apartment.
Where's the apartment located? What state?
In Ardmore.
Oh, okay, so you didn't leave
No,
the
I did not leave. It's 6-0 in the thing. And it was great because Tom McCarthy, I give you credit last night, Tom McCarthy and John Kroc both were like, this is incredible to believe. There was a moment where they didn't talk for like 15, 20 seconds. And Tom McCarthy goes, there's just nothing to say. and they both said it. There's just nothing more to say about Aaron Nola. And little did you know that they do another one of those, you know, Sonny Corinthoses. They came back from the dead. They did it.
Is he back from the dead?
Yes, he is. He's back. He is back.
Does he know who he is?
And he knows who he is.
Uh-huh.
They did it, though, last night.
Yeah, well, Nola, you know, gives up six and then he settles in.
It's
a sweet spot.
It was the second inning.
Yeah, he gave up
five. It's the second inning.
He went six innings after that. I mean,
after that,
he went four more innings, only one run.
Oh, yeah, that's
kept
great.
Him around,
yeah, they kept
you know.
Him around. Yeah, that's great, Jake.
Yeah, he didn't give up any more after the six.
He's horrendous. He's freaking horrendous.
Finished strong.
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. And you watch the... Did you see? And you
he
can,
got the win last
You
night.
Can go back.
Aaron
Nola is an ace. You can go back and watch the Eagles... the Phillies dugout. I think the Eagles, too. They were pissed. You can go watch the Phillies dugout when in that inning. And the players are just have a look on their face like... I thought it was The Walking Dead. I thought I'd slipped over to AMC. It looked like The Walking Dead. The players are like... If you could read their minds, they're just going, this guy's doing this again.
I mean, he gave up a bases loaded hit to a pitcher. I think they said it would never.
First career hit.
First career.
First career hit.
He may have, He's only been up a couple of times, I think. Like it was
five.
Five?
Yes.
So you had a feeling it might not be the Phillies night.
And
after
then he falls asleep, and then he loses his focus.
But they got the win.
Runs, they did, and they are two games back in the division, three in the loss column. Honestly, right now, look at the loss column. Be like Bob's dad. That is what he told you to do.
Dad?
No, don't be. Well, their playoff.
That's got dark quick.
That's terrible. It is not.
AILC is what he called
it. Your dad said loss column. It's three in the loss column. And today, the Braves play twice. One game is a seven-inning game. They are losing in the bottom of the fifth. They're coming up in the bottom of the fifth. They're down by a run. They have three more at-bats. The game will be played in San Diego, but the Braves will be the home team because of it being a resumed game from one of those Fugazi doubleheaders. So they have 9 outs to get one run or more.
Okay.
So we could have an early gift tonight where we know the Braves have put another one in the loss column.
All right, you're so good at looking ahead at schedules and comparing.
Yes.
Don't do it. Just off the top of your head, the three of you. What do the Braves go in their last 11 games? Anyone?
Phillies take two. They lose two to the Padres. That's four. They lose one to the Mets. That's five. They lose five games.
All right, so what do you have, Gene?
That sounds about right.
If they go six and five,
the Phillies to win the division need to go 8-1.
Ooh, are you kidding me?
Geez. I swear to God, I have it all.
Okay, wait.
If they go 7-4 to win the division, the Phillies have to go 9-0.
Yeah, but here's what I'm looking at though. I wanted there to be a one game playoff.
I have to tie also.
I want to force the Braves to have to play that makeup game the day after the season ends, and then have to play the Phillies in a one-game playoff. That would be, as long as the Phillies win one game next week in Atlanta, they would hope be the team that hosts that game.
If Atlanta goes 7-4 to tie, the Phillies have to go 8-1. If Atlanta goes 6-5 tie, the Phillies have to go 7-2.
I think the Phillies can go 7-2.
I love your optimism.
No, I really do. I believe we could be talking about Monday, the Philly. Let's put it this way. I'm not gonna be shocked at all if the Phillies sweep the Pirates. I will not be shocked at all. I think last night was one that was...
Problem is you need to take two or three from the Braves. And then
I think they can do that.
Not soil your pants versus the Marlins.
They've already won 9 out of 16 against the Braves this year.
Yeah, it's not out of the question.
So, I mean, it's not out of the question.
The Miami series terrifies
well,
me.
Well, get there.
What led to Billy Mumford's
downfall?
Billy was a cockeyed optimist.
Wouldn't it be awesome if
it would be
something?
Great, but I'm terrified
it would
of
be.
That.
Yeah, be terrified. That's what we did.
The Marlins.
It's the Marlins.
Of course it's the Marlins. That would be the worst.
All right, we got so much coming up for you today. If you want to chime in, by the way, on any of our earlier conversation, you can. We'll take in at 610-632-0975. Welcome to Philly, to the newest voice of the Sixers. We'll talk about it next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You want to watch football. I know you want to eat wings. And I know you love drinking beer. Bob's nodding already. It's 6:30 in the morning. Hooters is the original wing joint. For dine-in, to-go, curbside, or delivery, you can count on Hooters. Maybe you are not ready yet to go hang with your boys at your local Hooters and have a great time watching the games on Sunday. Hooters then brings it to you. Delivery, curbside pickup, you can walk in and do to-go. Whatever you're doing, you can handle it with your local Hooters. But you're saying, John, I don't know where the local Hooters is. Well, go to northeasthooters.com to find the location nearest you, because Hooters is going to make you happy. Make you happy because they're the headquarters for football. You can do online ordering too. So you get the whole order together, order it online. You can have it delivered. You can pick it up curbside, stroll on over at halftime even if you wanted to, and pick it all up. NortheastHooters.com is where you find the location nearest you. Hooters is going to be your headquarters for football all fall long. Watch football, eat wings, and drink beer. Go check out your local Hooters.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Football Friday on The Fanatic, brought to you by Pump Man Philly. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, contact our man, Pump Man Philly. The guys to know to fix your flow.
What do you say, Pump Man?
You met the Pump Man?
I met the Pump Man.
On Saturday?
Yeah, good dude.
Pump Man was up in with us at Fan Fest.
Yeah, he was.
2021. I was telling you earlier about Pump Man and the ejector pit.
Yeah,
which
this
you did not know.
I did not know this existed.
This ejector pit.
It ejects the...
That if you go to the bathroom downstairs...
I see we shouldn't bring this up. People
the ejector pit takes it up to the next level and expels it from your home. No, I've already been told that there's special toilet paper for the basement bathroom.
Oh, really?
It's one ply.
No.
Christina's already ordered. No, it has to be.
Hear me out.
Because of this ejector pit.
One ply is overhated on.
Oh, stop. No.
As a change of pace every once in a while, you fold it a couple times, it's not bad.
But you're wasting.
Then you're defeating the purpose.
Yeah, but some of these fluffy, like, four-ply toilet paper.
Oh, my. It feels like a blanket on your butt.
Oh, it's too much.
It's the worst take he's ever had.
This is terrible.
I've known this man for, what, six, one 7 years? Worst take
like
you've ever had.
Like, four-ply fluffy. It gets like
any of your,
four-ply. You get a good two-ply. You're good to go.
Any of your grandparents, or in our case, my mom, she lived like it was still the Great Depression, and she had money. And she had money that she'd saved. And I'd be like, why are you buying dollar store toilet paper? It feels like sandpaper on your backside.
I don't mind the one ply every once in a while.
Hang on a second. Let's rewind for a second.
Come on, Coach.
Yes.
You started saying something. You started with the one ply toilet paper, and then you started saying Christina ordered it.
She ordered it.
Dude, go to the store and buy it.
No, she ordered it to be delivered, so it's being delivered.
You can go to a store and buy it.
This is the better part of the story, Coach. You're having toilet paper delivered to your house?
No, she's having the all
Costco
the stuff. That, yeah, like a big order coming of all stuff that she's going to use. Like,
I'm in jazz camp on this.
Did you ever, there's certain stuff you have to clean quartz with. You can't clean quartz. You can't just use regular stuff on quartz. Dave the Builder would back it up. I mean, you got to use... By the way, you can't find Pledge anywhere.
Huh.
Pledge is nowhere, because you need Pledge to grease the... there's so much stuff.
If there's a big box order, what's the difference?
So you just say a box order comes to your house. You pick it up on the front steps.
Pro-delivery everything. I never want to go anywhere.
See, now I don't do delivery.
I hate that about society
I don't do food delivery.
We do occasionally.
Ever.
Sometimes I go, because Skylar likes it.
I don't do food delivery. I'll pick up. So I have to pick it up, because it's cold. Or it's sweaty by the time it gets to you. Mm. To me,
I love going food shopping. I swear to God.
You like food shopping, right?
I really do. I love going out and looking around.
I've enjoyed it. I'm going to miss the Bryn Mawr Acme. I'm going to miss the people at the Bryn Mawr Acme.
You can go down and stop
there. Yeah, you can see. You can just visit.
I was in your hood the other day, wasn't I?
You were close to my hood.
I went through Ardmore.
Well, then you were right there. You were right there. I'm going to miss... That's my street. I'm going to miss Bong Boulevard. And
right
O'Malley's will be there today. The boys from O'Malley's, the moving van will show up, and then it's keep Manhattan, just give me that country.
And this is how small of a world Philadelphia is. You said O'Malley moving. I'm like, wait, I know a Carrie O'Malley.
There you go. You know the O'Malley.
I know the O'Malley's.
Well,
great people.
Well, if you're in Delco, you know the O'Malley's.
Yeah.
I opened it up on my DMs. I said, okay, I need to move 20 miles from Bong Boulevard, and they literally were like, everybody's like, oh, O'Malley's. O'Malley's.
It'll take them an hour, probably.
These guys, I think they're going to like ninja up the sidewalks. switch up your routine with Wawa's delicious and crunchy breakfast and lunch paninis. Choose your favorite, like Southwest Turkey or a Chipotle bacon egg panini, available at Wawa. So we had a big news break from the Sixers yesterday. Kate Scott is the new television play-by-play voice that will replace Mark Zumoff. Kate, incredibly accomplished. As a play-by-play voice, she's done it all. She's done NFL. She's done soccer. She has done basketball. Play-by-play in basketball, a specialty. Play-by-play in football. I saw some Cro-Magnon men on Twitter yesterday.
I saw one.
Oh, I saw one, yeah. I did see one especially. And to me, it's like... Do you know, you're commenting on somebody just because of their sex? Do you know her resume? We used to see Kate every year when she was still doing morning radio out of San Fran. She was part of the morning show, and she would do the updates and then be part of a morning show out of San Francisco. And it seemed like at every single Super Bowl, we were always like next to Kate. And they'd be getting up to do a show at real, you know, Oh Dark Hundred. And she was fantastic. And I saw her before her career started. She is really took off. She's amazing. She's an amazing person. And I couldn't be happier for her coming to town. But a female play-by-play voice in Philadelphia is going to be different.
Yeah.
It's distinctly different. It's a big change.
A lot of people were going to hate whoever came in because they're filling such big shoes, and that's a tough spot to take over. I mean, Zumoff's a legend in this town. But the misogynistic, like,
oh my gosh,
just stop. I reached out to somebody in San Fran that is very familiar with their work and was like, oh, she's phenomenal. Your guys are going to love her.
You're going to love her.
Great.
I mean, she brings it.
I'm mad at losing her. It's amazing. It's a whirlwind.
She is great. The thing is that I promise you, she is a she's funny, but funny in a she's not trying to be funny.
Funny like how?
She's,
like a she's clown?
Dry, like a dry no, like a dry humor.
It amuse you?
She is excellent at play by play. She is, and she is not an analyst. She did not go to Joe Buck's school.
Wow.
She's not an analyst. She is going to let Allah do his thing and set him up perfectly, and I promise you this.
You mentioned it, though, partner. He likes to slap around the beef.
nobody that I know that has ever interacted with Kate Scott in this business has ever had a problem building a rapport with her. And that is the ultimate thing that I can give her.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing her call. I don't know if she'll be doing preseason or not. Maybe they will. But that's not far away. It's October 4th is the first game.
Yeah.
So,
right around the corner.
Yeah, excited to hear.
That's going
to
be great.
I do feel bad, though, for her because of the fact of what Jamie said. She's walking into a situation where you had a legend going in that role for so long. And you guys know, I mean, Philadelphia does not like change. And
that's
I think everything you said is correct. And I think she will grow in the fan base. But I worry for her because of the fact that, like, filling Mark's shoes is going to be tough.
Here's the only thing I'll say with that. Is that as a first woman to do a lot of things, she has a lot of, I think she was the first woman to do play-by-play in the Pac-12. She was the one of the first women doing play-by-play on an ESPN broadcast. She was one of the first women doing NFL. She was she was the first woman to ever do Golden State Warriors basketball. She's done so many firsts and she's dealt with that. I guarantee it'll roll right off her back.
She tweeted out LFG, so she's my cup of tea off the bat.
You're going to enjoy her. She'll come in. We will get her in studio after she gets a little more indoctrinated to Philadelphia. I guess they,
mm-hmm.
as far as the, I guess they take you under wing, Bob. These organizations and try to
catch it, bring you up to speed.
Is that sort of what it is?
Just let her know who you know.
Look at Bob's face.
Who we are.
Well, she'll have no problem. They're not. Guess what? They're not going to be able to pollute her on this show. So they're not going to be able to pollute her on the opinion of the show. So we're going to... Oh, jeez. What are they going to do? Come on.
We're beloved down there.
They're going to sit her down and say, all right, so Jamie's a one-ply guy. And Bob, just mention anything New Jersey.
Bob, nobody speaks badly of you.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody does. All right, wait. Jamie, seriously. And don't kiss his ass. Have you ever met anyone in the media who speaks poorly of Bob Cooney?
No.
Neither have
media.
I.
Media?
No, that's what I'm saying is, I don't think anybody would be able to push a narrative that like, hey... The Kincaid show, you know, Cooney's on there. He used to cover the Sixers. He can be a real D. I don't think anybody would be able to pull that off because the other people you would talk to wouldn't back up that opinion. So I think you're safe. I think it's safe.
Okay. I would say there's some people maybe in that organization that might say that.
Andre Iguodala's not in the organization.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
He's going to go.
Nerlens Noel's gone.
Good point.
Hey, in Cooney's corner, if Ben stays... What? If Ben stays? I can't wait to hear this.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Yeah, big F. Capital I, capital F. Big F.
If Ben stays.
But, okay, so Doc Rivers came out and kind of threw out there, hey, we'd love to have him back. All of that stuff. I don't think he's going to be back. But if he does come back, if they can't trade him, if they don't get anything in return, no interest, whatever it may be, what happens? Do they change? Do they change style of play?
Oh God!
Do they not have him as the point guard anymore? Do they have him as a four or three, and they have him more off the ball than anything?
Well, you know,
does he change his game?
You know, a little bit. Is Ben going to want to change his game
to sell himself to get the hell out of town? If he has to crawl back here.
No, I don't think there's any chance.
I don't think he's any. But no. Let's just play this out.
Yeah, let's play
it out. He's not going to change here.
So you think he'd come to town and be the same guy?
Yeah, he's going to put up a stink about not being point guard. He believes in his mind he's a point guard. He's not going to change.
I think it would be hysterical if he came out and just started bombing.
I think it'd be great.
It would be.
20-footers.
Bob, do you think there'd be any FU in Ben Simmons' game where he would say, you guys are begging me to do this? Well, guess what?
I'll do
it. Here's what you get.
Well,
do you think he'd ever do that?
I'm shooting 18% from three.
Like, seriously, he'd ever do it?
He did before. So they had the break because of the pandemic. The story comes out. The Jackie McMullen story comes out with Brett Brown saying, look, I'm asking his parents to ask him to shoot threes. Joel Embiid was quoted in there saying, look, we'd be a better team if he would do it. First game back, he takes a three and then doesn't do it for 38 more games. He gets questioned about it going into a season. It was the first time the topic got really, really big. They played the Guangzhou
Lions.
Yeah. Right. And he goes out and shoots a three and bangs it and says, screw you guys. And then we don't see it anymore. So he has that little FU mentality, but he doesn't hold on to it very long.
He did the same thing in the Nets playoff series. He was absent game one. He got,
yeah, he got
ripped
booed
for it. And then he went off for like 33 and a triple-double.
They won that opening tap. Remember? Mm-hmm. Game two. Pat's exactly right. Game two, opening tap. They win it. And he's at the rim quicker than you can blink your eyes. And he's like, and looking up at the stands. He has it in him. But he doesn't sustain it for very long. So,
right.
I don't know. I'd just be interested. I think if I'm head coach, I think I'm looking at him, okay, you're one of my starters, but I'm playing you differently.
Isn't sustainability the key to being great?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So, like, why is this hard for it to sink in with him?
I don't know. I'm not defending. I'm just bringing up a
when
topic.
You said sustain, like, it just jumped out in neon to me. Like, that's why he's not great. There's no sustainability to his game. When he does something great and shows you he can be great, then it goes into a shell for the next 20 games. Like the Utah game this year, he came out and had 42.
Yeah. While Gobert was covering him.
Yeah. If you go, I mean, maybe I'll look it up during the break. His game log the next five or six games, I bet he immediately went back to 12, 11, 12. There's no sustainability in his game ever.
No, you're very right. It's maddening.
Okay, when you say there's no sustainability in his game, though, is it no sustainability in his game by design? By the design of his mind?
Yes. Because I think there's things holding him back on the court mentally.
I really believe that.
I do too.
I think it's completely mental.
I know it's a strange topic, and we all do agree.
Well, we've already had a few this morning, so that's good.
That he's not going to be back. But I really did. I started thinking, oh my God, what if you see 25 walk onto the floor?
I don't think he'll change.
But something has to change. So I have to change it as a coach then.
But Pat, I'm here for it. I'm here for this.
Doesn't change, but he reverts back to the Ben Simmons we saw in the first half of last season. Really the Ben Simmons we've gotten used to. Is that enough?
Wait, say that again?
So if he doesn't change his game, if he doesn't come out and start shooting, but he reverts back to the Ben Simmons that we're used to, the Ben Simmons we got the first half of last season, not the one we saw the last, you know, three months or whatever, is that enough? If you get all-pro defender Ben Simmons who averages 16 points a game, never really takes a jump shot but can get to the rim at ease, is that enough?
That's a good question.
No, you know what? That is enough.
I think it is, too.
I think it is, too. Yeah, I really do. I think that's enough. And I think it would rebuild his image.
This soap opera is going to be better than anyone you've ever watched in your life.
No, it's not.
It is going to be.
It won't be.
Crazy.
Is someone coming?
I don't know.
Is a girl going to show up in town that's Ryan Chamberlain's daughter?
Who?
His illegitimate daughter? The serial killer, Ryan Chamberlain. His daughter, he has an illegitimate daughter, and she's shown up in town.
Is he in one of the groups that's going to boo Ben Simmons at training camp when he shows up?
You're going to have to ask Mr. Dumas? I can't remember.
Oh, Rich Paul.
Rich Paul's burner. Yes, Rich Paul's burner account. Yes, that one. Jamie is so excited for this weekend, and I would say...
Wow.
I hate Jamie's take on this. We didn't talk about it pre-show, but Big Jamie, cool. This is a dookie take. It's a dookie take.
Jeez, man.
I'm not trying to, like, poison the well.
I mean, you really sold it for the listenership here.
Okay, look, if you believe in what Jamie is about to espouse...
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
It's terrible.
Let me tell you something. We don't care.
I love Sunday Eagle-free football.
Oh, God.
When the Eagles play on a Thursday or Monday, I get so excited for Scott Hansen, my laptop, my phone, an order of wings, and couch time. I love it. You get to actually pay attention to the league, not worry about the Eagles for a little bit, and just enjoy the NFL. Because I don't watch the Red Zone when the Eagles are on. Maybe it's on a secondary TV if I'm at home.
You don't flip during commercials?
Not really.
That's always my previous channel.
I'm always afraid I'm going to forget.
Previous channel is always,
and miss something.
If I'm watching, is always Red Zone. So back and forth.
We don't have Red Zone in the house that I have now.
Well, you can add that, Bob.
You can get it on a device now, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I kind of brought it up the other day.
You need it. Scott Hansen is awesome at his job.
I can't stand Sundays without Eagles
in
football season.
I love it.
It sucks.
I'm ordering a big old batch of PJ's wings. I'm going to go pick them up. My cousin and me are going to watch on the deck, have a couple beers.
That's awesome.
Feed up. Follow fantasy.
Day.
Make some
it's
bets.
It's going to be gorgeous.
No Eagles stress at all. Just 12 hours of football.
I
love it.
No. Pat, now, Bob and I both think Jamie looks like a bit of a idiot on this. Do you agree with him?
No.
Oh, thank you. Then speak.
I like being alone.
Just speak.
You know what?
Just have the floor.
No, I meant I do agree with him.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
do you want to go pumpkin patching?
Hey, don't criticize what I do on my day off. All right, jackass. If I want a pumpkin pick, I'll pumpkin pick. With apple cider donuts, they're delicious.
And do you really pick pumpkins?
No, you just kind of look around and wonder, when can we go
home? Just pick one up.
Yeah.
You pick one up.
Yeah.
You don't actually go pumpkin picking.
No, you take
them off the vine and cut them.
You pick in the essence where you say, I'll take that one.
That one.
You take a photo with your kid in the thing with all the pumpkins, and you post it on Facebook. You get 23 likes, whatever. I'm kind of with Jamie. I like being able to just have a carefree look around. I equate it to watching the NHL playoffs when your team isn't in it. It's in a weird way, it's more enjoyable.
There's no stress.
Because there's no stress. You know, like, there's nothing better than NFL or NHL overtime, but there's nothing worse when your team is in that overtime because just stress kills you. And even though there is no real stress this season going to the Eagles, I kind of like it. Now, I hate bye weeks.
Bye weeks suck.
Wait a minute, what's the difference?
There is a
difference
because I have a game to look forward to. It's the next day.
Yeah, but it's
and
Monday.
Not only that,
it's Monday night.
But not only that, it makes it a short week. So I'm closer to the next game.
I
like it.
I hate it.
But then Thursday makes it a longer wait.
Thursday. Yeah.
This being said, I hate Sundays when the Eagles aren't playing. I love watching them on Monday nights. But it doesn't take away that I hate them not playing.
See, I hate Sunday. Monday Night Football.
See, to me, a 1 o'clock game.
I hate Monday Night Football.
Oh, I don't hate Monday Night Football, but I hate Sundays that they're not
playing. And I'm going to hate it worse now that we are getting up at, you know, whatever in the morning.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah,
it's but the 1 o'clock games, you miss... What, there's probably 8 or 9 games in the 1 o'clock?
Usually, yes.
So you're missing like 50-60% of the league every weekend.
You said the perfect schedule for me would be as if the Eagles played their 17 games. Give me 8 1 o'clockers, 9 425s or 405s.
I like the 425s.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I don't mind the 425s.
That's fine.
Either.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's perfect time.
Yeah.
And I still can get to bed at a reasonable hour. I can watch it. And I do, though, it's one of the things I like about the 4 o'clock games is that usually you've seen your divisional opponents play.
Yeah.
I love that part of it that we'll know what the other teams in the division have done before you see the Eagles play on Monday night.
You're coming around.
You'll know what the Giants do. You know what?
Yeah.
That's the only part I like about it.
I
but
like
I could do that at
around.
4. I could do that on. I like. Do you like Sunday night or Monday night?
But if the Eagles were playing 425 this week, you'd miss Rams Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, there's just you get to enjoy the league and not.
Yeah,
your
but
team.
No game this weekend.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, I scheduled my move to be this weekend because of it. So I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite. I said, okay, what weekend are the Eagles not playing? This is it.
No, that's smart.
Whose love is deeper, Jamie's for Scott Hansen or John's for Jonathan Gannon?
Oh,
I think
I'm
John's
deeper.
Is a little creepier, and that means deeper.
I'll throw a third one in here, or you for Bruce Springsteen.
That's the creepiest.
Jamie doesn't know Scott Hansen's. Like, it's not like Jamie knows what kind of car he drives or.
Did you ever meet Hansen?
No.
Where he parks.
He wasn't an original NBC.
Where he parks. Anything like that.
Yeah, I don't have a tracker unit under his car for GPS.
I wonder why Jonathan Gannon needs that big SUV.
Yeah.
I do wonder about that. He's not very green with that thing he's driving around in.
Big you-know-whats. He's just,
Jonathan is.
Around.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Just back off, Egan. Back off.
I'm sorry.
Mine, I saw him first. Jonathan Gannon just really. I'm very excited to see what he draws up for Monday night.
It's not going to matter.
Jonathan Gannon, yes, it is. He's going to do great. Hopefully, you are going to get ready to have a great weekend, even if you're going to the Pumpkin Patch. It's too early for the Pumpkin Patch, right?
We're going October 9th.
Already on the calendar?
Yeah. It's a thing for Tommy and us.
Oh, that's good.
Going. I
saw pumpkins out at the grocery store, so I guess it's that time of
the year. Yeah, they're out at the Acme and Brickmont.
Yeah,
this is,
the Acme
is actually a good time to go because it won't be too crowded.
Yeah.
The weather would be nice.
I know that Adam Joseph plans the Linvilla? Linvilla Orchards?
It's a big one.
Oh, wow.
Linvilla's good.
Boy, house decoration.
That's right by.
Oh, he's amazing.
Isn't that right by Aronimink?
I think it's near Aronimink.
Yeah, it's right there.
So there you go. Never played it yet. So I really wouldn't.
One day,
I'm not
John,
like
one
Bob.
Day.
I'm not like Bob. Royalty getting to play Aronimink numerous times. You might be able to pull a string from me sometime. I might get invited sometime. All right, we got a lot coming up for you in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. There's a rumor mill. It's cranking out rumors. And we will shoot them full of holes or we will applaud them. Next. Get your weekend going here. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Nothing like betting on the home team. Nothing like home team sports. Nothing like the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Oh, tell me about the casino app that you use, the app that you use to sports bet. Can you go visit somebody? Do you actually see the place? Yeah, I do. Yeah, Parks Casino is right here. It's backed by the biggest casino in Pennsylvania. It's absolutely awesome. I love Parks Casino. Right now you can bet on the Phillies. Phillies minus 238 tonight. With Gibby on the mound. You got a great opportunity tonight. And the Pirates are pitching a guy with a 7.28 ERA. And no, it's not Aaron Nola. You're going to do a great job tonight if you do that. Penn State is a 31.5 point favorite versus Villanova. You usually can't bet on Villanova games because they don't play against real competition. Penn State is playing them tomorrow, 31.5. So you Villanova people, it's your chance to pretend like you're in big boy football. Wisconsin, a 5.5 point favorite. Versus Notre Dame. I know the cuz is all over that one. And you got Giants 3 against Atlanta. And right now, Dallas is a 4-point favorite on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. So if you're seeing 3.5 elsewhere, jump on with 4. A free $50 sports bet is yours for a limited time with no deposit required. Go download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. A free $50 sports bet with no deposit required. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Consider your weekend already started. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. 7 o'clock hours brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. You saw them how many times in concert, Bob?
You too?
Yes. No, you too?
Just,
hey, you too?
You
too? Yeah.
I just saw them once.
Once.
Yeah. Old JFK. Yeah. Springsteen came out on the stage.
I would never pay to see them. If somebody gave me a free ticket, I'd go.
Really? I think.
Wait a minute. But would you pay to see Phish?
Reluctantly, if a big group of friends was going.
You have friends?
One or two.
Would you pay to see that touring Grateful Dead group?
Well, that's like my favorite.
The new one, though.
Yeah.
That they were, they're filling people
Dead
in.
Dead and Company?
Yeah, who's the lead singer? Wasn't he on...
John Mayer.
John Mayer is part of it, but he's not... Like he's
the rest of the band's there.
Yeah.
That's alive.
T-Dog took me to go see U2.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. In high school.
Good mom.
Yeah.
She is great.
Yeah. Really good.
That was cool.
That is good. Where? Spectrum? No.
It was at the Wells Fargo Center.
Wells Fargo.
My dad took me to my first concert, which was AC/DC.
Really?
That was your first concert?
Yeah, I still haven't told my mom about that.
She just heard.
She would have killed me.
What age were you?
No, she would have killed my dad. Fifth grade.
Okay, that's too young
to go AC. 10. They were my favorite band. They were coming to town. Let's party.
That's cool. AC/DC
and that was
your favorite
at the Spectrum.
Band at 10?
Yeah, that was the Spectrum.
That's your dad, though,
I have cool parents.
That's a good move on your dad's part.
I have cool parents. I mean, they disowned me, but I have cool parents.
You have the same thing with the idea of parenting, right, Bob? Because these guys they're in the baby stages. That there's times to throw rules out the window and just say,
yeah,
live life, have fun, do something different. Don't care about
my
it.
My kids see me do that, so how can I tell them?
See, but I rarely ever do it.
Really?
No. In my personal life I rarely ever do. But as a parent, I do it a lot.
One of my favorite memories is when I got called down to the principal's office because my dad was picking me up to take me to a doctor's appointment. He was taking me to the morning shoot-around of Duke, Kentucky at the Spectrum.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. That's
fantastic.
And we got to spend the whole day together. It was one of my favorite memories. So,
and it should be.
I'm going to do that a lot for Skylar.
Good. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. You're never going to regret it.
No.
You're never going to regret it and say, well, I wish she missed.
One day of school will never be more important than that memory I have.
Not to get off rail here. I had a bad father moment yesterday where I met my boys out for lunch.
Right.
So I was the first one there. Rock comes walking in. As he walks in, I see him and my phone buzzes and I look and I have a text from my son Kyle who says, hey, I'm not sure I want to tell mom this, but... And I immediately turned the phone over and I didn't read it. I did for like a half an hour.
Waited?
I told my boys as they came in that I said, I got this thing. And I'm like, all right, guys, I got to do it.
What's her name?
No. Nothing
she's
like
that. She's not a child.
That's what one of my friends said. Oh, you're going to be a grandpa.
Yeah, I was going to say, congrats,
she's
grandpa.
She's not a child. That's exactly what I thought. I said, what would lead that sentence?
No, it's not a big thing.
Since you guys are fathers, I'll ask you your opinion. I have a 2.5-year-old. At what age do you think it's appropriate to take him to Slayer? Because that's his favorite band right now.
At 2.5.
Four. He's bugging the hell out of
me. No. Four may be a little old. Because he won't be the youngest person.
Yeah.
I think as long as you don't have to carry him in that little...
the baby Bjorn?
You know.
It's the dad and his son and the baby Bjorn.
The hipster dad. The hipster dad thing.
That thing is awesome. When you need to be hands-free around the house with an infant, that thing is a lifesaver.
The beer, the IPA, and the Bjorn.
Yeah. You got a beer in one hand. I was cooking with it.
She's just dropped the kid into the hot water.
To just lock him in a room.
That's a lot easier.
What's your take on putting a leash on your kid?
Terrible.
It's great.
Horrible.
It's great.
These parents at Disney World, they're walking around with their kids on a leash. I'm like, you are just, you're honestly.
You don't have to chase them. They can't go
anywhere.
That's
so ignorant. It's so ignorant.
Try to run away and they fall down and laugh at them. You're not going anywhere, you stupid baby.
There is one thing the only thing I would reject is the family shirts at Disney.
Yeah, I'm out.
I've rejected
that.
It at every turn.
I know people that do it and I cringe for them.
No, not doing it. Not doing this.
Did you?
When you say family shirts, do you mean?
Like where it's like mom, dad,
with the Mickey ears on.
Kid,
okay, all right.
With like. The Kincaid's spring break trip.
Because, I wear a
Mom,
Disney shirt.
Mom, Dad, Kit. No, that's different.
Yeah, I wear a Pizza Planet.
No, I wear Disney shirts. Okay, I wear a Mickey shirt.
I didn't know.
No. Everybody wears the same shirt. It has, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Jack. No. The rumor mill is cranking out stories day after day, and they're not all about Bob. The next destination for Ben Simmons seems to change by the hour. There's a lot of talk of players coming back in return. I reviewed around 6 of these proposed deals yesterday, and I got to tell you, none of them truly interest me. But that may be where the Sixers are going to have to shop. Are the Sixers talking a big game, but are they looking to make a panic sale? Because I would tell you, that sounds like what I'm hearing right now is if the Sixers are anxious to make a move, they're gonna panic sell, and that means they're going to lose worse. And if they do that, and I'm going to say it again, and if you're listening... Daryl Morey, I'm a huge fan, but it's going to disappoint me if you make a panic sale and just say, well, I got to get rid of him. Got to get rid of him. I'm not going to be happy, just so you know, so I'm putting you on notice. You've taken the ball down the field this far. Do not turn it over in the red zone. You're not Carson Wentz. Do any of these proposed rumored deals that you've read about truly interest you? Because I'm going to tell you guys, I'm unimpressed. Bob, Jamie, Pat, Connor, Mike, and the coach, Eric Camille. Do you like any of the deals, the rumored deals? And by the way, there are so many of them. There's nothing to sneeze at, Jamie. There's so many rumored deals.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make fact from fiction.
I don't either. I saw on Twitter last night a guy that said, I'm from Australia, and I know Simmons is great friend, and he says he's confident he's going
Dan
to
Clark
Denver.
Sports. He's a dope.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah, there's one name that has kind of popped up that it's not, I don't think it's out of the question, but C.J. McCollum does interest me.
Oh, it's not out of the question at all.
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question.
Robert Covington.
How does he play?
Coming back.
Cuz asked this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. If you're Portland, how do you play with Dame Lillard and Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time? Because both of them need the ball to be contributing factors to your team, correct?
Yeah, my thinking on this is an older Dame Lillard, instead of having to create so much with the ball, if he's a guy that can run out on a break, get open, catch, and spot shoot, and you have a really good facilitator like a Ben Simmons, that could add legs to his year.
Is he going to be open when Ben Simmons is on the floor as a facilitator who doesn't shoot? Is he not going to be more covered than he is now? Does he not face? Do more teams? I wonder about that.
It's a fair question. But how much does Dame Lillard really have to be open? He's that good of a scorer, you know. And if you have a 6'11" guy in Ben Simmons grabbing rebounds and running out, similar to Danny Green, although way better than that. Dame Lillard knows just how to run to a spot and be open, and it's just boom, catch, shoot. You know that means a lot to an older player as opposed to give me the ball and I have to beat my guy off the dribble. That's exhausting to do 15, 20 times a game. If he can replace that with catch, spot up, shoot from a facilitator like a Ben Simmons,
right,
that's something that Portland would really look at.
And their defense would get better.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Portland's defense would be drastically better.
I don't think you have to worry about a fire sale because I think they've been working on this for 2 months. Like, I think this has been in the works for a while. So I don't think anything's necessarily going to be rushed. I think they cast a wide net, and they're trying to find out what is realistic, what isn't. It appears Minnesota and Cleveland and Sacramento are the three most likely. I'll be honest, a Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton, and Marvin Bagley deal would interest the hell out of me. But I don't think what we're hearing from media and in the public is anything close to what's going to be realistic.
There is one good thing, though, here in Woj's report on ESPN, just in the conversation, I don't know what one of the numerous shows was. Clutch Sports is not involved in trade discussions. The Sixers have reportedly, they're not involved.
Good.
The Sixers aren't collaborating with Clutch and going, hey, Clutch, can you help us work a deal here? That appears to be fiction. The Sixers are working a deal that benefits them.
Good.
And I love that. Love it.
I do wonder, though, I don't know if I believe that the teams that have been mentioned are necessarily the team that he's going to go to, because Elton Brand has shown you in a short time as GM is he works in the shadows. No one was even talking about the Sixers being mentioned with Jimmy Butler. All of a sudden, it gets out. You know, boom, Jimmy Butler. That came out of nowhere. No one was talking about the Sixers being mentioned with Tobias Harris. And boom, all of a sudden, it gets out. Like, he works in the shadows. He keeps things very, very quiet. So I think some of these teams, yeah, they might be interested, but it might be a smokescreen where he ends up going to a team that we haven't even thought about.
That's most likely what's going to happen. It's going to be something that hasn't been discussed or even thought about.
Well, like Guangzhou.
And it's going to be a three-team trade, I think.
Here's one thing that came up, too, is that I was told by a very prominent, large individual, and he said to me in the offseason, he goes, don't be shocked if Ben Simmons is here and Tobias Harris is gone. He thinks that He thinks that Tobias Harris could... That
Daryl this guy Moore, loves da- Tobias Harris.
He loves him.
Yeah.
But he thinks that Tobias Harris is a contract that can be moved, and that maybe that move happens before a Ben Simmons move happens, and then you've revamped... Whatever
yeah.
you're doing, you're revamping your entire team, and you're freeing up a lot of money.
Wow.
If you're able to do that. And he said it to me twice this summer. He goes, don't be shocked if there's a bigger move that happens before Ben Simmons exits town to give him, because honestly, I would think the deals you're talking about, if they were able to move Tobias Harris, and then your roster is more free to make, you can look at different Ben Simmons deals then, right?
Sure.
Like your return for the Ben Simmons deal can be completely different.
Yeah,
as far as your roster.
The max contracts are important, so moving two of them, you'd need to get max contracts in return because they're an asset, especially one with 4 years remaining on a guy that's 25 years old. So you don't necessarily just want to punt on that for no reason. If Tobias's was moved on top of it or with it or before it, it seems very strange to me because that's a lot of salary cap maneuvering in a short, like, month period.
And how do you sell that to Joel Embiid? Hey, we're blowing this team up. Be patient.
It would have to be something good.
It would have
return.
To be something really real good.
You know, and now you're talking a year of, you're not going to get stuff back that makes you an instant a championship contender. So you're going to have to tell Joel Embiid, who has just reached another step of his maturation, all right, we're gonna try to gel this team together for a couple of years and figure something
out. But does Joel Embiid look at the makeup of the Sixers without Ben Simmons and say to himself, so it's Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, like on your pecking order?
Yeah,
you're probably not winning an NBA title with that pecking order.
I'll say this, in all honesty, I didn't know if you could, talking pecking orders, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Drew Holiday, I didn't know with that pecking order that was championship worthy, or if you want to go Middleton and Antetokounmpo.
Well, the thing is, so you have Middleton and, so you'd have to find...
Yeah, you know what I mean? They've kind of, what Milwaukee did, kind of poo-pooed the three superstar thing.
It really did.
Granted that the Brooklyn was hurt and other teams had some players hurt, but it kind of let you know, wow, a really good team made it with one superstar and two, you know, really good players.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Just a heads up, too. Join Devon Gibbons, Derek Gunn, and special guest Bob Cooney for the Fanatic pregame show Monday night starting at 6. The Fanatic pregame show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook with more ways to win.
Yeah, man.
So Monday night, Derek Gunn, Devon Givens, and special guest Bob Cooney.
Nice.
Coming up on Monday night.
Can't wait.
Getting you ready. Should be a good time. In the linchpin, the third game still leaves many, many questions.
This is the linchpin.
Bum, bum.
I don't think anybody has any idea what kind of offense we're getting on Monday night.
No.
And I like it. I like catering the offense week to week to the opponent's weaknesses. And I don't know if this team's ever going to have a one thing that they repeat and do well over and over again. I think it's going to change week to week. You know, Belichick always says every game's a snowflake. You know, they're unique and different, and the Cowboys do things worse than the Giants or Washington football team do, and they do stuff different than Kansas City does. So I think, and this is just a guess because there's not a body of work to judge it on, I'm kind of getting the vibe that Sirianni and Steichen are going to go week to week and attack what they can attack, and there's not going to be one characteristic
static
of this offense at the end of the year where we go, oh, they won because of that. I think it's going to be ever evolving.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know,
I think that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And I hope that is what it is. Like, if we see another game where there's no balls thrown down the middle, and another game where tight ends are rarely used, and another game where the running backs aren't really getting thrown too much, well, then I'm starting to get worried. But I agree with you, James. I don't think we've seen even a tip of what Sirianni has in mind of what he wants to do offensively.
But I think what he wants to do depends on the opponent.
Sure. Yeah.
I like that. But if you have that offense, does your offense have an identity, and does an identity matter? I sort of like the team that has the identity that you know what we're going to throw at you.
Yeah, like the Tennessee Titans. You know you're getting Derrick Henry shoved down your throat every weekend. Stop it.
Don't you think Mike McCarthy's going to run the ball at the Eagles all night long?
Look, they have a good one-two punch right now.
And then open up the passing game. Off of that. Or do you think he's going to come out passing?
Enough. I think he's going to come out passing. I think he's going to go to the He threw Dak Prescott 53 times the first game back, and the guys have had
Yeah, but that's because Tampa Bay's secondary is in such disarray.
I don't know. And what you say is, I know what you're thinking is. You're thinking Bill Belichick changes every week. You don't know if it's going to be a running game, all of that. I don't know, and I think I brought this up yesterday as one of our topics. I don't know if the Eagles have the stability at one spot right now offensively that can become their identity. I just don't know. Maybe it could be the running game.
No, they don't. Well, I mean, they can't have a passing identity.
It doesn't
they don't
appear
have enough,
so.
They don't have enough stability
Well, they
yet.
Could if they went 12 personnel and decided we're going to, shove tight ends down your throat.
Right.
That could be something, maybe. But no, they don't really have one strength that's more dominant than another.
I love this fact. I love the fact that we're sitting here debating it and we're talking about it because...
So you do.
Yeah, I like the fact that we don't know because if we don't know, there's a chance that the opponent doesn't know. And I'm not saying that we're watching the film like they do, but
no.
How would they know?
Nick Sirianni didn't... You like the indecision, though.
I like the fact that they're feeling the process out. I mean, you've talked about it in to take people behind the curtain. Sure. You talked about, breaking eggs. Let's try stuff. This is the year to try stuff. If they're good at try stuff to figure out what his offense is going to be, he's growing in this role. He didn't call plays in Indianapolis. So he's getting used to it just like we are. Shane Steichen's getting used to it to being a coordinator. Same thing with Jonathan Gannon. Break eggs, guys. Go at it. Because next year, we probably do have way, way different expectations for this team. This year, not so much. So go ahead. Go at it.
Break some eggs.
I like what you say, though, John. I like that you say...
I say some good things every once in a while.
Well, that's why I have to point
that's
it out
true.
When you do. that you need something that kind of is your go-to. Like back in the Andy Reid day, I considered the screen game.
Absolutely.
But he did a lot of different things offensively, but that screen game was phenomenal. I'm anxious to see what can become stable in this offense because I'm not sure that Nick Sirianni knows yet either.
No, he doesn't.
No, yeah.
And this conversation was brought to you by PropSwap.com. PropSwap is the number one app to buy and sell golf bets all weekend long. Golf is perfect for PropSwap, so head there today, buy a golf bet, and sell it for a huge profit this weekend. We're 40 minutes away from the Ryder Cup,
boys. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love Ryder Cup.
You could prop swap your ass off this weekend with Ryder Cup.
I bet you could. Bet you could.
I can't wait. It's great theater.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage because Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Who would be the guy that you'd be looking to grab a ticket on?
In matchup play?
To follow for the weekend?
Yes.
One individual?
Like, you think
Xander
somebody's going to have a big weekend.
Xander Schauffele's been on fire. So is Patrick Cantlay. Morikawa's pretty locked in right now.
He should see Dr. Avi Donapel.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Yeah, those are the three hot ones. I mean, Brooks and Bryson and Dustin and those guys are all, studs, but they're not as locked in as those other three right now.
Yeah, if I locked in...
Is that a dad joke? That's not... Patrick Cantlay? Is that...
A little bit, yeah.
It's a little bit of a dad joke.
Yeah, I enjoy it, though.
It's not your worst.
Yeah.
I think I'd lock in on... Justin Thomas.
Why?
I don't know why.
Why is he playing with his best friend?
Because the guy is 5'6", weighs 140 pounds, and hits the ball 330 yards. I'd love to see the mechanics of all that up close consistently.
By the way, Cuz will have to be given a sedation today with Matt Rhule's now 3-0 in Carolina. Carolina Panthers. It's shocking. Christian McCaffrey's that banged up again. You never saw that coming. Who saw that coming? That Christian McCaffrey, as the fantasy draft.
I didn't think.
Kincaid saying he wouldn't take Christian McCaffrey. Sounds so stupid now. He's always hurt. He's always hurt. Why you take these people do the season-long fantasy. That's why you want to use your betting app and do individual games.
That's why daily fantasy is becoming better.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun. It is so much fun. All right, we have a lot coming up for you. We want you to stick around. Your weekend is beginning. And there is already a little tiff I don't like it when someone else lets someone else do their dirty work for them. But it's happening. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. This week's course in the John Kincaid Show Golf Tour is Bluestone Country Club in Bluebell, the host of this week's fantastic APGA Tour event. Bluestone Country Club, founded in 2016, formerly known as Meadowlands Country Club, 50% of Bluestone's membership is under 40 years old. It's a vibrant, fun club. And the owners now own the Bluebell Inn and the newly opened Copper Crow Restaurant in Horsham that you might want to check out. Bluestone is offering you golf and social memberships, and social memberships include tennis, pickleball, aquatics, and clubhouse dining. If you need more information on Bluestone Country Club, you'll love playing this course. Jamie was bombing off the tee but losing a lot of balls. All of the feature courses on the John Kincaid Show Golf Tour are located at 975thefanatic.com/golf tour. When you go, you enter to win the TaylorMade Sim 2 driver worth over $500 while you're there. So get in. It's presented by the great people at Monco Golf and the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board.
975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on a Football Friday on The Fanatic, and it's brought to you by Pump Man Philly. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Appreciate you getting in with us early this morning. The John Kincaid Show on a Friday. Now, it is a Football Friday, but leading up to the kind of football that Jamie Lynch likes.
Me and Scott Hansen have a date on Sunday. I can't wait.
Being able to watch all the games and have no stress.
Enjoy the league.
Thursday night football sucks.
I hate it.
They absolutely hate it.
Throw crap matchups there, too.
Yeah, I told you guys I watched
the
last...
You mean the Buccaneers and the Eagles?
in a few weeks. Could be.
That might be one of their best of the season,
they might
right?
be. Well, if the Eagles are good, we'll find out.
If the Eagles go into the game, they will have played Kansas City.
Right.
They will have played Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they will play Dallas.
Yeah.
Let's see how good. As long as you win one of those games, it's okay.
I think the Eagles give them a game. I mean, this is way in the future. But I think the Eagles make that a good game, that Thursday night game.
That'd be awesome.
Against Tampa. Yeah. I think it might be okay.
That'd be awesome. I like that.
We'll see. Yeah.
Let's see.
Huh.
Let's see.
Is it the week after he goes back up to New England, or is that this weekend?
It's the week after Carolina.
Ah. Because if you got Brady.
You play at Carolina. No, because Brady's game is the third.
Yeah.
In New England. Yeah. And that's the game we're going to talk about here is a little bit. As Brady goes back, it's next weekend, the third. Tom Brady goes back to town, and so now there's next Sunday. That'll be the Sunday night game. It's going to be a huge, big deal. Alex Guerrero, though, does the dirty work for Tom Brady in an interview. He rips Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in NFL history, the most accomplished coach in NFL history, for not evolving in his relationship with Tom Brady. And he goes on to say, well, Tom didn't get the same rules as everybody else, and Tom didn't get treated the same, and that's why Tom wanted out. And so, I got to tell you this. I've always had a lot of respect, though, for Brady and how he goes about his business a lot of times. This is embarrassing to me. That you're letting Alex Guerrero trash Bill Belichick and speak on your behalf. And he's speaking, going, well, this is why Tom didn't like it. This is why Tom didn't. He wasn't good to Tom. He didn't let Tom have enough say. He did. The Belichick-Brady relationship is the greatest relationship in the history of sports. Coach player, there's no better. You could say, you know.
Harbaugh and Russell, maybe.
Yeah. I think different era, less competition.
I'm just trying to think titles dominance.
But it's one guy, Brady Belichick. And to let Alex Guerrero trash Bill Belichick in an interview to me, it's a smear camp. And it's ignorant. They're the most successful pair ever. And Alex Guerrero, go back to peddling your blood spinning and your Dr. Frankenstein crap.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand it. Were they hand in hand? Did they agree on everything? Probably not. Maybe they didn't even like each other. I don't care. They were the most successful pairing maybe in all of sports. Pat just brought up Jordan and Phil Jackson. You could go there. But
Scotty Bowman and Stevie Y.
Yeah, I heard this week that it was something like, well, you know, they just had to move on from each other and get a new start.
What? 20 years?
Like, they were still winning championships.
But
you didn't have to do that.
They were amazing. You didn't have to do it.
But if I'm Brady and I've, you know, laid the foundation of me being perhaps the greatest athlete ever, and Belichick is still treating me the way he did 15 years prior, I would feel a certain way about that, too.
Because
I think Guerrero is speaking, like you said, probably for Brady.
Oh, he is, because he's saying Tom didn't like this and Tom didn't like that. First of all, don't speak for another grown man.
But then Tom
on the record in an interview.
But this is the brilliance of Brady. Brady then spins it as, well, you know, when you have family members and friends that care about you, sometimes they speak.
And he's so full of crap.
Yeah, he is. But it came off well. I think Brady's on a revenge tour here. He wants to go up there and dominate the Patriots next weekend and be like, hey, Robert Kraft, you chose the wrong guy.
See, I don't think it came well, though, because to me it comes off as Tom Brady's being very petty, and it comes off as Tom Brady didn't discount the comments. He didn't say Alex Guerrero.
That's what tells me Alex said him for Tom.
That's what I mean, but I think Tom Brady, if he really wanted to do it better, could have done the, oh, well, you know, Alex is speaking what he thinks, you know, Brady let it hang. I mean,
it's calculated.
You're trashing Bill Belichick? Seriously? Shut up.
Yeah, but we don't know the inner workings of it. Like, he might have reason to. I don't know. I'd feel pretty ticked if the Patriots...
Say it. Then you say it. Tom Brady can get any interview he wants anytime.
Sure.
They will pull up to his couch, then have the... Whatever.
Balls. You can say it.
Have the balls to say it. Articulate it. Well, say, if you think the greatest relationship in the history of coach player, the most successful partnership ever, if you think that it was something so, oh, I had to leave and I'm not being treated fairly, then speak it.
Well,
speak
maybe he's
it. Don't
very...
Don't let someone speak for you. You're a grown man. Don't let someone speak for you.
Him and Robert Kraft might be very tight. That might not be something he wants to do.
But he's doing it.
He's doing it, but not on the surface level.
So he doesn't give a crap about Robert Kraft.
But it doesn't look like most people saw that and went, oh, Brady's friend's talking out of pocket. Like, it's calculated by Brady. It's brilliant.
Well, for Brady, first of all, pettiness is his thing. I mean,
it is his thing.
He posted a video before he played the Falcons where it was 28-3 in the background. Just so happened to be 28-3. Like, he's petty. I wouldn't speak on the record of this if I were him before I play the game. And this happens with a lot of marriages. We just, a year ago, saw a documentary called The Last Dance because there was a power struggle between people who wanted the credit for success. So I'm not surprised about this. There's a really good show on Vice called Dark Side of Football, and they went into Bill Belichick. They did a whole episode on Bill Belichick.
I've never heard of this show.
Yeah, it's really good. But it goes into football matters. But the Bill Belichick episode, they were interviewing Dante Stallworth, and he was a new member of the team. He goes, the first meeting that we had as a team, they start replaying some of the season last year in a video session, and Belichick went in on Brady. You would have thought Brady was the third string quarterback. And I'm sure Brady knew, okay, it was sending a message, and that's exactly what Dante Stallworth said. It made everybody sit up, like, if he's criticizing him.
Correct.
Yeah. But if you're Brady, after a while, that probably wears on you to the point where you're like, screw this, dude. And then he goes down and he wins a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, and Bill Belichick hasn't really had success. I'm not surprised that he sent somebody to speak out of turn.
Yeah, it is so...
It's a soap opera.
It's petty. I agree with you, John. Look, if I have something to say about somebody, you know how much I cannot stand passive aggressiveness.
Speak.
Yeah.
Speak up. Don't be and it sure is. Be a man.
And
speak up. You're a grown man. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I wonder Jamie's calculation part though. Oh, Cannavada comes out right before they play. He wants that whole focus of that game on him. He's getting it no matter. I think a
They're
lot of the calculation.
The path.
And this is a guy, by the way, in Alex Guerrero, who's pissed because Bill Belichick had him
exiled out.
Right.
Because he was undermining the plan of the team by trying to get guys to go to his little side gym, which Tom Brady's a partner in.
Sure.
That's where it probably.
And that's where it all came
that's
from.
That's where my theory of the Patriots,
paying subverting
him.
The salary cap.
Yes.
Hey, we're thrilled to welcome PJ Wheelahans into the Fanatic family. We love you at PJ's. Catch every game at PJ Wheelahans. Bob's got three within like walking distance or something like that.
I literally just texted during the break.
Because you're going to PJ's tonight, is it?
We are.
We're going to PJ's tonight.
We're going to dinner tonight at PJ's, yeah.
Every seat is the best seat in the house. Well, pennant race baseball at PJ's, is that going to be the plan?
Watch a little
pennant race baseball.
Of course.
I guarantee you they'll have that Braves-Padres game up.
Hopefully that'll be a quick loss for the Braves.
Quick loss. And then you start to go, wait, if the Phillies are playing tonight and you see the loss column is at 2, it gets
really interesting.
And
we have to put our hate aside if it's 1 or 2 games out come Monday. Because
the hate is there. I mean, but we're still rooting.
We just have to push it aside. I mean, that's a decade that we haven't been able to talk about baseball this late into a season.
You're right.
You know, the Bobs and Connors of the world that hate this team, they need to put it aside.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Where were you when they were down 6-0 last night?
I was watching.
Let's go, team.
I was packing.
I'm still watching. What does that say?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the whole game, too.
I was the first one to watch.
I watched it harder. Last night, somebody who watched
this... I watched
this,
it twice.
Somebody who watched this game knows it. Tom McCarthy and John Kruk, they had to hear it, because it was... I'm in the kitchen, and I'm putting a box together, and I'm saying, there's no sound. Nothing. And I look over at the television, and the game's still on, but I'm not hearing anything. I said, they're having audio issues. And Tom McCarthy and John Kruk let it go a long time. And then one of them says, and I don't know if it was Kruk or McCarthy, says, I don't know what to say. I'm watching Aaron Nola. Like there, it was 6-0. It was right after the home run, I believe, that made it 6-0. And he's just like, I don't know what to say. And you could tell the frustration in their voices, the frustration in their...
I mean, I think his ERA in September now is approaching 5. For his career. I know he's sick of talking about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sick of watching it.
Did he pick earwax last night?
I don't know.
Hey, Park Sportsbook. The Park Sportsbook app. Stop it, Bob. Has a great offer. New customers sign up now, get a free $50 sports bet, and there's no deposit required. Click parkscasino.com/PA. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Here's what I'll say to it, Bob. If you set my house on fire, by the way, if you do, I'm going to kill you because I... just getting in today. If you set my house on fire and then you run to the next door neighbors and get a hose and start putting it out, I'm not applauding you for putting out for helping to put out the fire. I don't give a damn because you said it.
That's not very nice.
You're the one who said it.
Light that ejector tank on fire and start there.
Ejector pit, it's called. It doesn't even seem real. The ejector pit.
This is amazing because I feel like this is coming from the arsonist. We covered this earlier. Where did you watch the game? You watched it in the city. It's a scientific fact at this point. If you watch Aaron Nola starts in the city, he does poorly. You watch him out of the city, he does great.
Well, I actually
refuse to leave.
Yeah,
I had to pack.
It's all about you now.
If he's in a Braves game that is crucial to the season and the playoff chances, we're sending your ass to Jersey or New York. You're out of here.
So he gave up a home run. He's terrible.
I'm not giving anything for
you. I'll call my good friends at Amtrak and I'll get you
a VIP. It's clown time.
Trip to Penn Station.
And then he retired 12 in a row. He went 4 straight innings with boom. He finished that.
He takes the mound and it's.
He's so good, he can give the other team a 6-0 lead and still come back and win the game. He got the decision last night.
This really pisses me off.
12 straight. A lot of them were strikeouts.
Woo! In Cooney's corner, he wants to talk about what the Sixers did yesterday because it was historic.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
I've said this a lot in my life, especially the last few years. I can't wait until this is a non-story. I can't wait till you can hire a female play-by-play person, and it doesn't have to be a huge story because it's a female. I can't wait till the day that somebody comes out as gay and it has to be a story. Why? Like, I just can't wait for everything to be normal. Like, female play-by-play. If they're good, they're good.
If they're good, they're good.
Who cares? I don't care. If you're a good person, you're a good person. I don't care about any of the other stuff.
Like, just, I can't wait till the day where this doesn't matter. Now, congratulations to Kate Scott, all of that. Much has been made of it. First female, great. I'm glad that hurdle's been cleared. I really can't wait till the day when it doesn't matter that Doris Burke is a female and she's doing NBA analysis. If Doris Burke is bad, she's bad. So be it. I don't care if it's a he, she, or it.
And she ain't, by the way.
She's the best. Although I had an argument with one of my boys at lunch yesterday. He doesn't like her.
He doesn't like Doris Burke?
He doesn't like Doris Burke.
Why?
I almost came to blows. It got bad. But yeah, look.
She doesn't even answer your DMs. I mean,
I know.
Doris.
We tried to get her on here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, come on, Doris.
But point being, I'm not going to say good for you, NBC Sports Philly, for hiring a woman. I'm going to say good for you for hiring, hopefully, the best candidate that you interviewed and who sounded the best on air when you did your interviews and your auditions. I can't wait till the day that we don't have to label it with female or black or white or man or what. Like, just the best person, that's all.
If you just put her resume out there, Kate Scott's resume, you take her name off it, you take the sex off of it, you just say, you don't know, candidate A is Kate Scott's resume. She damn well is qualified to be the Sixers play-by-play person.
Yeah.
Period. Flat out. She's incredibly accomplished.
Does she have sayings?
By the way, I do not believe she...
Are we going to get any, like, locked windows and doors?
See, I don't...
You can't force them.
Here's one thing is
it's
got
to come natural.
I do not believe she is going to come in here trying to fill Zoo's shoes.
No.
I think she's going to come in here
as Kate
being
Scott.
Herself.
Yeah.
And she's going to do her own thing.
Which is the right thing to do.
If you've heard her do play-by-play, she's good. She's really good. The Golden State Warriors people, Damon Bruce, buddy of mine out there, she's an excellent play-by-play person. Said really, really good. And she keeps up with the game really well. She sets the stage for her color analyst, does a great job. And and her work on football was excellent.
Yeah,
she was excellent on football. So she knows her stuff. So just enjoy it.
Yeah, we're a major...
And the Cro-Magnon men.
Yeah, we're a major market here in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia 76ers are one of the premier, throughout the history of basketball, organizations in the league. I have total confidence that they hired the best person that they thought was
that
able to do this
job. That they think's the fit for the job.
Exactly. And everything else, be damned. We don't need to go on. The best person, it appears, got the job. Good. Good. It doesn't have to be a pedestal for some kind of a, you know, oh, look what we did now. I don't care about that. Good for her. She's best candidate. I can't wait till the day when it doesn't matter if it's a male, female, whatever it may be.
I can't wait for the first turning trash into treasure.
And I don't think she's...
Allah, we're coming in for an arrival.
Now, I wonder if there will be the occasional homage to Mark Zuma.
It would be cool.
But she's not
a minor one.
I can promise you, she's not, as a play-by-play person, she's not shticky.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I knew nothing about her. You've completely sold me on her.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, like you.
She's
a
good person.
Going
too.
Through her resume, it's clear.
Yeah, her
that
resume
she got
is great.
She got the job because she's very qualified. But Bob, you're right, man. Like, I can't wait till it's just the Sixers hired this person.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the story. That's the end of it. That is it.
So two major teams. You have your world champions, the Milwaukee Bucks. Hired the girl Boyington last week as their play-by-play guy, replacing a friend of mine in Jim Paschke. So
did he retire?
Yeah, he retired. Great.
And how many years was
man.
He like 35
he,
or something?
35-ish, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw him at a game, I think it was last year, and he told me it was the retirement tour. But yeah.
Is it because he didn't quit because he won?
No,
like,
I think
he
was
ride off into the sunset because he was going to.
I'm pretty sure he told me on the record it was planned.
Wow.
Maybe it was a behind the scenes thing, but yeah. Look. Let's just get the best announcers there. I don't care who they are.
I know she's not shticky. So there's not going to be a lot of, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to say Zoo is shticky. Zoo, just over the years, you do a job long enough, people pick up on everything that you say. And,
sure.
And then and then he turned that into a great thing for charity, too. So it worked out great. I love the people last night, though, doing the whole, oh, Sixers hired a woman. They went and hired a woman.
People
jackass,
or one guy?
Jackass. No, there were Pat, there were others.
There were others?
Oh, yeah, I saw
a bunch. Yeah, there were others on social media. Yeah, I bet she was qualified.
Just
read
the comments under the Inquirer
and
tweet.
And you're just like, well, you're jackasses. You have no idea about
mouth
her.
Mouth breathers.
You don't know her resume. Just, again, you can't read the resume if you close your eyes. Just take her name off her resume.
If it's in Braille.
And read every single thing that she's done. And she would be incredibly qualified to be in that room getting an interview to get that job. That's all you need to know. And now she's a left coaster coming right, though.
Yeah, how about that?
It's going to be a little change. It's going to be a little change of...
Yeah, and she's used to, I guess, a lot of success out there with the Warriors, huh?
Yes.
So that's going to be a change, too.
She has the hustle gene, man. She's got the hustle gene, so she's going to be... I think she'll be a great addition in here to town. By the way, I want to answer somebody here. I was laughing. I think it was Troy. Let me just make sure I got this right here.
What's up, Troy?
Troy Bird. Troy says, John, you never heard of the dark side of football on Vice?
I haven't either.
Troy, I don't think I ever talked about... I don't think I even know Vice. Well, I know I've seen it on the screen, but I don't think...
They do
think
good stuff.
Okay, what's on... Good. Tell
the
me
Deuces
other things
and Miro,
on Vice.
Did you ever hear them? They were Vice. That was their
they
big
were.
One, right?
Okay,
they were
tell me anything
now
else
they're
on
somewhere
Vice.
Else.
Yeah, now they're showtime.
It's a lot of investigative
because
reporting.
Unless I do, with the voice remote, just ask for a show.
Right.
And if it popped up on Vice, I think I'd see it. I do not know. Now I can't wait to check this out.
So they have a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, they have a really good series called Dark Side of the Ring, which goes into the industry of professional wrestling, which is fascinating. They just had a really big episode. The Dark Side of Football is their new venture. They have Dark Side of the 90s.
I can't wait to check it out.
A lot of documentary stuff, investigative
I like
stuff.
That.
It's good. It's really good.
Woody in Philadelphia joins us on The Fanatic. Good morning, Woody. Woody,
yeah.
Going once. Going
Woody
twice.
Went limp.
Woody, you're probably
hello.
Hope Woody doesn't send a mean tweet.
Jeez,
keep
got,
talking.
Got Woody on there.
Right. You're in a mood today.
No, Bob's in a good mood today.
I'm going to get bonked.
Bob's in a very good mood today.
What do you mean he's
why, always in a good mood? When am
Bob's
I not in a
very
good mood,
mood today. What
except
is this?
At meetings.
Bob didn't.
So am I the only one that heard the Woody comment?
Oh my gosh!
What?
This is unbelievable.
All right.
Wait. We got Woody back. Woody, are you on the line? No. He's not.
Woody's messing with
us. Is the phone up?
Is the phone not working? Woody's well, not there. Okay. Mm-hmm. We tried with Woody twice. We tried twice.
Don't
Bob.
Bob. Just avoid it.
There was cheese. There was cheese.
Yeah.
Right there.
What?
And he didn't take it. Okay, just as okay. Long as he didn't take it.
I think
it.
He was listening to Paul and Stan.
He might have been doing that. We are looking forward to having you join us for the second half of the John Kincaid Show. I saw the boss peek around the corner, and he wasn't wearing his Reds mask.
Oh, that the big boss is here.
He was not wearing his Reds mask.
Ah, what's he got on?
I don't know. It was blank today.
His collection of masks is...
It's pretty good.
It's legendary.
Yeah. First time I ever saw him in a mask, he's wearing a Joe Exotic mask. Joe Exotic, the president.
That was the start of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Guys
went out and bought a Joe Exotic. I don't question the boss.
Probably Lord Bezos.
All right. Why is this sort of falling with a thud? It should be a big matchup. We'll get to it next. We are halfway home. Hopefully your Friday is off to a great start. Your weekend has begun with the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Now, Hurricane Ida did a great number in the Delaware Valley, and not great in the good way. The water was incredible. Well, the night before Ida hit... Our man, Pump Man Philly, was inundated with calls from building and facility managers all over town, worried that their water and their wastewater pumps weren't ready. Pump Man Philly came to the rescue before it hit. Now, if your facility's pump system didn't handle the flow from the storm, Pump Man Philly is here to help you too. The guys at Pump Man Philly are the experts. They'll troubleshoot emergency repair, maintenance, and pump system replacements. Managers for Philly's municipal, commercial, and industrial facilities, you need Pump Man in your phone so you're ready for anything. If your building's pump system was overburdened by the last storm, or you're not sure if it's going to handle the next one, here's what I want you to do. Put Pump Man Philly's number in your phone. 833-559-PUMP. 833-559-PUMP. Have it in your phone. You know it's there. Get your system checked, or... be ready when the next storm hits. That's 833-559-PUMP or online at pumpmanphilly.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli had a winner yesterday afternoon, right, Coach? In the cash contest. We'd like to get one, so get that in there. He had a winner yesterday afternoon.
Nice.
Mikey Miss.
Go, Big Mike.
Had the winner. I think Mike doubled the prize, if I'm not mistaken. I think
he threw some of his own money. Stiff.
I think he said, I'll throw 500 extra in because it's one of our... I may have heard that. I may not.
Yeah, you heard wrong. The exact quote was,
no, don't take that from me.
So it was Mike's money. So I didn't realize that. The host who their show loses $500?
The original promotion was called Mike's Money, but then we're doing it throughout, you know, every day part. So
I'd like to get into
change it.
I'd
but
like
it's still coming out of Mike's pocket.
I'd like to get into Mike's Money. There may be some dusty First Communion money in there.
So if he gave you like the Shaq thing you talk about, which is like your paycheck or mine, you would trade with him?
Yeah, I'd trade.
I think I probably would too.
I'd trade. Bring it on, Mikey Miss.
I still can't believe you didn't do that deal with Shaq.
What an idiot.
You're a dummy.
What an idiot, dude.
Okay, I don't remember if it was... We did it live on the air, like as we recorded. So it's out there. I'll have to see if Jenner says that. I think it was 60... It was like $63,000 or something.
God. Oh, what a loser.
I was an idiot.
Did you think he was really going to get a tiny check?
Yeah, well, because sometimes he gets tiny checks.
Like, how tiny is tiny?
Yeah, that's it. What's a tiny
check? Sometimes he gets a check for like, oh, I've checked. He gets
for
weird checks.
He might get like a $5 check.
He gets residual.
Check.
No, I've seen residual checks that he gets.
Yeah.
What was one of the, God, I'm drawing a blank.
Like
blue chips.
Blue chips. Yeah.
Neon Bordeaux.
Blue chips. He had a residual
great
check.
Character.
He had a residual check from blue chips. He was a throwaway in blue chips.
No, he wasn't. Yeah,
Come on.
From New Orleans?
He was the crown
I think he got a residual check for like, he had like a residual check one time for like
$3,900. $3,900 is a small check?
Yeah. Well, if you're
going to. Are you kidding
I'm
me?
I'm taking that.
I mean, if you got to give up the check that you had, and I would have lost some money.
Oh, God.
Make some money here.
Congratulations on your success.
Hey, yeah. The 8 a.m. hour is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. As I always say, when I speak to the prospective broadcasting students, if Shaquille O'Neal ever wants to do a business venture with you, you say yes, unless it's porn.
How much is he paying?
Say yes. You know, there's a thing for that, Pat, so you can do that. I've waited so long for my first Eagles Cowboys week on the radio here. And I got to tell you, maybe because it's Monday night, I'm not feeling the same energy that I expected. And I really want to change that. I don't know if the rivalry's fallen off, as Jamie and Andrew sort of their generation is saying. But that the Giants are the bigger rival. But all I know is that if the dream of a December to remember is going to materialize, you know what I keep talking about is, will the Eagles games matter when they start showing the Christmas commercials with the family coming out the cars in the driveway with the big ribbons? So that's what I always talk about. Is it going to be that way?
As long as it's from the North Bend family of dealerships,
that'd
John.
Be great if it was. This game is mission critical. Can they get you the big ribbon? I bet you they could. The Giants and the Washington football team aren't looking like world beaters.
No.
So the opportunity's here. If we wake up to a win on Tuesday, this city is going to become, I believe, will become believers, off the chain believers, if they go and they beat Dallas. Now, I'm not talking Super Bowl, but I'm saying for a much more interesting and longer ride. But I ask you both, is it a Monday night football thing? But it just doesn't seem like the energy about this game this week has seemed the same that I expected. I expected my first Eagles-Dallas week to be home. It would be crazy.
You'll feel it Monday.
I'll make
that prediction. Yes, it really is. It's the, I don't want to say it's like, it's almost like having a hangover before you start drinking or something like that. Like, it's just mundane until Monday. When it's a Monday night game, Monday is wild crazy here in
town.
You'll feel it.
I'll feel it Tuesday when we're reacting to whatever or overreacting.
Yeah.
To whatever happened.
Boy, if they pull out that game on Monday night and somehow this defense is able to curtail a little bit that really good Dallas offense, oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I really thought two and four through the first six, they would be fine. If they went through the first six, 2-4, that they would be fine to have a chance to make that up, clean it up, and be in the mix. 1-5 was the disaster. So you got to find a win here.
Yeah, I mean, of Kansas City and Tampa Bay and Carolina on the schedule, I think Carolina and Dallas obviously are two most winnable games.
No question.
You have to win one of them. I mean, there'd be nothing sweeter than beating Dallas. But I don't know if the energy is going to be there like you're expecting it on Monday. I do think it's different.
What's different?
It's not as hype as it has been in the past.
Is it because it's a new regime? Is it because there's no expectations?
I think the expectations was a big part of it.
Because I don't want to be Dallas fans.
And I think a lot of Eagles fans know Dallas is good in the back of their head.
Oh, they're good.
So they don't want to oversell their hope. Because Dallas is a good team.
They're really good.
Yeah. And I think we're kind of guarding ourselves a little bit.
Pat, are you in that belief that Monday will feel, I'll feel it?
No.
Nah, really?
No, I think the problem is we like to sit here and say that Dallas is a big rival, and in a way, obviously they are, but when one team is really good and the other team hasn't been good for a while and vice versa, the rivalry goes away. And you saw that with the Mets and the Phillies for years, the Mets and the Braves. But when both teams are really good and they're competing for something constantly, then the rivalry returns. Right now, there aren't expectations for the Eagles. And with the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, is anyone expecting them to really compete for a Super Bowl? I mean, you're probably expecting them to win the division, but that's about it. So I don't think the rivalry is back. I think it's taken a hiatus, if anything, and it will return when both teams are truly at a big enough stage.
There is one thing, though, is that it's a huge game just because of this division, too. To be able to go, you'd be 2-1 in NFC games. You would knock Dallas down to 1-2.
Yeah.
You're going to have the Giants at best be 1-2 if they beat the Falcons. Washington's going to Buffalo. They could be 1-2. It matters.
Like they will
it
be
matters
one and two.
to your long-term chance for success. It matters.
Yes, because and here's why I would be excited if the Eagles find a way to go down there and win. It's because these young players and this young coach, the young players especially offensively, figured a way to go down there and beat what I call a better team. That helps you in your progression of what this team is going to be about. Look, we talked about it. We talk about it endlessly. It's an analyzing year. It's a see what you got kind of year. If they win that game, I'm not looking at it like, oh, they have a shot at the division and all that. I'm really not. I'm looking at it, wow, that's a good little barometer for Jalen Hurts, for Devontae Smith, for a lot of younger players on this team that they know how to go into an environment and win a game that you shouldn't have. That's a great learning lesson. And that's the way I'm looking at if they get a win in Dallas.
When you look at a 4-point spread, and that's what it is this morning on my Parks Casino Sportsbook app, if when you're talking about four, is it a game, though, James, that you're not supposed to win? I mean, I know you're an underdog, and everybody go, oh, you're an underdog, you're not supposed to win. I sort of look at 3 and 4 points as they believe, especially when you're a road team, they believe you can win the game. They believe the teams are fairly close.
Yeah, to me, I mean, that's not far off of the standard, you know, -3. The Giants are just -3 over Atlanta because they're going, we got no clue on this one. It's up to you. We'll just give the 3 points to the home team, and it's up to you guys. Four, to me, it doesn't scream that far off of that. I have some numbers here.
Give us.
So Mike McCarthy as a home favorite against the spread so far in Dallas is 0-5.
Wow.
He's 1-5 against the spread versus the division so far as the Cowboys coach. So, kind of tells me it's going to be a game. Whether or not they're good enough to pull it out, I don't know. But I think Mike McCarthy's buffoonism will rear its head come Monday night.
Wow, really?
I mean, he's not covering these spreads versus division opponents, and maybe that just speaks to the intensity of division games, or they're overinflated. Cowboys are America's team, as they say. So sometimes that gets affected on the lines because they know a lot of people are going to be betting the Cowboys. So I don't have a good read on it, but four tells me they got a real shot at this.
A pump man's chance. They got a pump man's chance to win this game. That is absolutely awesome. Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance so you only pay for what you need. You got to make sure that you have you've got that all set up. We have very interesting things. I have a I angered Mike from Delran.
Ah, what'd you do to Mike?
Oh, I don't know. He was angry tweeting because I didn't take his call earlier. I didn't take his call earlier on the show. Today.
We'll need Mike's energy Monday.
Mike's energy is frequently heard on this show. It is. Whether it's on tape or whether it's on the phones, it's frequently heard on this show.
We're Mike from Delran people.
Yes. Always been.
Coach actually said his catchphrase earlier today out of nowhere. He just yelled, "Go Birds."
That's good. Just out of, Coach,
he's
really,
wrong with he that? Smashed a five-hour energy, threw it down, and yelled, "Go Birds!"
Mm. Way to go,
Coach. It was aggressive.
I didn't do that.
Hey, Draft Lines with Devon and Jamie is tonight at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Planning anything special and exciting for us?
We'll have some information for you for the big game Monday night. Maybe some, league-wide numbers for this weekend. And once again, we will try to cook up a same-game parlay that we can all cash in big on.
All right, let's see what Brad from Broomall has to say quickly. Brad, how are you? Okay, something's wrong with the phones.
Yeah, we got phone line
issues. We got phone issues. Because he can hear us, we can't hear him. So we've got some phone issues. Yeah. So we couldn't have taken Mike from Delran either. So he don't need to angry tweet anything else.
They'll be sorted out at 10 o'clock.
All right, let's go. Yeah, it'll all be fixed by the time Cuz comes in. It's time to speak for yourself, Bob Cooney.
And now it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
All right, so we're going to start off with Jonathan Gannon, your boy toy, your favorite guy.
He is.
All that, all the love that John has for him.
He is a charmer.
So one of the questions he was asked yesterday was something that's been on all of our minds, and it's about the stupid penalties that his defensive players had against San Francisco.
Yeah, some of those penalties, unfortunate. Our guys have a very clear picture of what we're looking for as a defense, and that goes into the being smart. I'm really not worried about that because it's in the past. So I think if you just focus on that, and our guys, we talk to our guys about that, bang, bang, penalties happen. And it's really not, what are we concerned about, what the official called? No, we're not. We're concerned about the next snap. So we do want to be a smart defense and clean up some of the penalties that we can clean up, but also knowing that some of those bang, bang penalties, those are going to sometimes go your way, sometimes they're not. But the most important thing is to play the next play.
He's so articulate.
Yeah.
He's forceful, but... But I think he's unbelievable.
The bang bang penalties, you can live with.
Yeah, right?
He came on while it was going to be happening. Yes,
which was a bad call.
It was a bad call. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more from Jonathan Gannon, directly say, yeah, Derek Barnett can't do that anymore.
I said that the other day too with Vince Sirianni.
I kind of wish he would have. And look, I do think that they probably did because, like I said, I did talk to somebody behind the scenes and they said they really do coach him up hard when they're individual and all that stuff. So I'm sure that something was said of him. But I wouldn't have minded, or said to him, meaning Derek Barnett, but I wouldn't have minded him coming out and just reiterating on that again.
Okay.
But, So, also, we're going to stay with your boy, Jonathan Gannon.
Oh, I love it. A double shot.
A double shot of Jonathan Gannon. And he talks about the Eagles have only given up one pass play of 20-plus yards.
That's pretty
just
good.
Just one in two games. Sorry. Go ahead.
We show our guys on tape all the time. A lot of people get frustrated with a 6 or 8 yard pass play. And it's important for our guys to understand that's a win for us on certain plays. Certain plays it's not. But certain plays in the course of a game, if we make them check it down and get 8, that's a win for us. And our guys, our coaches and players have a very clear understanding of within certain coverages where we want the ball to go and what is acceptable.
Does that scare anybody a little bit?
Yes.
Because what does it reek of? Bend, don't break in my mind.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, the bend, don't break, if we're talking about a team that's second in points allowed in the NFL.
Yeah. Look, we cannot.
I'm sort of okay with it.
We cannot get on Jonathan Gannon at all for the way his defense has played so far. I really don't think we can. There was a little bit of a miscommunication on the San Francisco touchdown on the pass that maybe Nelson went inside when he should have stayed outside. But the only thing that I was like, almost, I had to search for it was, oh, please don't be such a big fan of Ben Don't Break. I hope that's not the case. But we can't argue with anything he's done so far.
But if that's what they need to succeed this year, were to get through this year, I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah, and they hate explosive plays. So yeah. If they're bending, not breaking, and not allowing, you know, the explosive big play, then it's kind of a win, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
We can't argue. It was just funny that when I listened to it, it kind of did come out to me like, oh, boy, let's not have another bend, don't break season. But, as I said, you can't argue with anything he's done so far or what his defense done. All right, so now we're going to go over to the offensive side of the ball, and we're going to go to offensive coordinator Shane Steichen. And he was asked about Jalen Hurts and something that we've talked about, him not throwing the ball down the middle all that often.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. It's really what the defense has given us, right? If we think we have our route combinations, right, that we go into a game plan, and if they're getting stuff outside the numbers, that's where we're going to take it. I mean, if they give us the stuff over the middle, that's where the ball is going to go. So really coverage based on those as we're looking through a game plan, what they're playing defensively and where we think the ball is going
to
go.
Ah, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yes.
I hope that's exactly what it is. I hope that there isn't I don't want to say scaredness, but I hope there isn't a reluctance to have Jalen Hurts throwing over the middle for some reason.
Did you believe the answer?
I have to for now. I don't know, but that's the reason I pulled it.
I don't believe that answer.
It's one of the reasons I pulled it. They're keenly aware of it.
Okay.
They know they're not throwing the ball down the middle. Look, I totally agree. Play to your...
I didn't believe that answer.
Yeah, play to your players' strengths.
So the Cowboys have a really good linebacking core. Micah Parsons might be playing some more DN this weekend than not. But this, on paper, would be a team you don't want to attack across the middle. I mean, I think you should never let the defense dictate it entirely.
Chargers did. I mean, the Chargers accomplished more in big chunk plays down the sidelines.
But once they got inside the 33, they only got one touchdown out of six possessions.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So they were the bend but don't break thing. I don't know. I'd like to see the plays open up with something in the middle of the field this week.
I wouldn't mind. I would love to see a 15-yard in and a guy catching the ball on the run right down the middle and catch it and go.
Send the message of this is how it's, you know, it's going to open up our outside later. You're not exclusively forcing us into that.
Maybe two games are anomalies, but hopefully it's not the norm here. All right, so then we're going to move over to head coach Nick Sirianni, also talking about the offense and also talking about Jalen Hurts and whether he held the ball too long on some cases on Sunday.
Again, he just made so many plays with his legs when things kind of, there was a thing that broke down here or there. I still didn't feel that. I mean, there's one that we talked about. We wanted him to set up a little bit earlier, that we wanted his setup point to be a little earlier on a movement. But as far as holding it, I didn't feel that. Again, watching it, that was one of the deep balls to Devontae.
Yeah, so the deep ball to Devontae, we know that he threw way up in the air. And
way up in the air.
He had him beat off the break. If he would have thrown that ball earlier, and then the form was horrible, as Sirianni says, but if he would have just thrown that ball 10, 15 yards earlier when Devontae Smith broke open, I think that would have all worked out.
It was a touchdown. Just rewatching some of the clips, you know, online this past week, I don't necessarily think it's the strength thing that's concerning. It was the timing thing.
Yeah, I said that on Monday. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Really?
Well, look,
the one to Quez Watkins was a beautiful ball. You know,
no, the one to Quez was a
it was nearly 50
ball.
Yards in the air. So I think it's the timing thing, which is going to be the tough thing for him to get down.
Yeah, I don't think if you're going to compare arm strength to some of the bigger arms, he's not going to win that.
No. I knew that coming in, so I have no
right.
I'm not. I don't think that's fair to be. I know who he was. He's got
timing's everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. With him, you're going to have to. The timing will hide.
I don't think he can just.
No, I don't think so.
No.
He can't recover for being a half second late with his arm.
And that's it.
And Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, they might be able to make up for it with their arm strength. Yeah. He might not be able to.
Yeah.
So the last one we have here, also Nick Sirianni. He was asked about if he's getting a little nervous about Jalen Hurts taking off and running so much.
I really believe that he's going through his reads and making his reads. If something breaks down up front, he runs. Or he had a scramble play to Devontae that he threw it. I know he gained 7 yards on that. So I don't feel like I would feel that way if I felt like he was unnecessarily leaving the pocket. And just doesn't have to have something break down. It's also the play wasn't there, right? Like in the case of him and Dallas in the Atlanta game on the touchdown, the play wasn't there. He made something happen because he had to. And so I'm good with the way how he's playing the game right now because I don't believe he's leaving the pocket early. He's leaving the pocket out of necessity.
And I'm going to agree with that one.
I was just going to say, I am in agreement with that. I don't see a Randall Cunningham thing like he's just getting it to take off. Called plays when they have something, great. I do think that the goodness of Jalen Hurts so far has been when plays break down, he's been able to get some positives out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with Sirianni on that.
I can't say that I've ever said in the first two games, come on, Jalen. Yeah. Like, you didn't need to run there. Like, he chose to, I think he chooses to run pretty strategically.
He had like 80 yards last Sunday, right? It was very, I don't want to say 82. Quiet.
Well, by the way, there was only one design run on first down, and he got 9 yards.
Yeah.
And it was a design run.
It was kind of where a quiet 80 yards.
He meshed with Sanders and then took it himself in the misdirection and then went off to the sideline. He's brilliant at not getting hit.
That is a very, very good tool that they have is his legs.
Michael Vick never learned it. Carson Wentz never learned it. Eli Manning never learned it about, like, when they're running, they don't know how to get. He's very smart. Just get me out of bounds.
Yeah.
Get it going on. That Kyler Murray looks like he knows a little bit about stuff, too, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I think you might succeed at football.
Yeah.
We've got a UFC minute coming up and more, so you want to stick around for that. Pat's going to win you some money this weekend. If he doesn't, we will punish Pat. Hey, I want to thank our friends at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Fanatic listeners get 15% off when they mention Mike Missinelli. If you got water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at DryTech. That's DryTechCorp.com. When we return, there's a pennant race, and it might be bigger tomorrow. Shame Connor can't watch it and enjoy it with all of us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I love the home team. I love being able to bet on the home teams. And in my first home season back where I can bet with the Sportsbook app, I chose the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. They're absolutely fantastic. I think I felt better about doing business with the app that was backed by the biggest casino there. I love the Parks Casino. In and of itself, it's great. This weekend, you Villanova fans get to pretend you play real big-time college football. You can bet your team actually has a line you can bet on. You're 31.5-point underdogs to Penn State. But still, you act. It's like you're invited to the big boy party. So put your money on it. Take Villanova plus 31.5, and then you'll be crying. It'll probably be over by halftime. Wisconsin, a 5.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. You check that one out. I know Cuz is all over that game. Monday night, Dallas is a 4-point favorite. The over-under is 52. That's a spooky number because it seems low. It seems low, but I don't know which way I'm going to go yet. We'll wait till Monday. But the Parks Casino Sportsbook app's got a free $50 sports bet for you with no deposit required. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. 8 games remain. Pro Bowl wide receiver Golden Tate now on the squad. It's Dallas week, and we're talking everything Eagles
on Philadelphia's football station.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There you go, Johnny. The juice is back.
Juice.
Yeah, we didn't have any imaging spots, but you seemed like you wanted to feel that.
I did feel
excitement,
that.
Excitement, so we got a little something. Yeah, it's from 3 years ago, but, like, it still hits.
Juice.
Yeah, Golden Tate's back. 8 games remain.
I like it. Really keeps
Dallas
you on
week,
board.
It's Johnny. It's Dallas week.
Yeah, it's Dallas week. Really does. That was some good imaging back then. That's some really good imaging.
Wow. I mean, if you're, like, half listening, you know.
Coach, good imaging there. Said really, really. We like that. We're a very tight ship here.
Egan and I are.
You're good people.
Yeah, don't worry. Nobody's listening.
You're
anyway.
Good people.
Are you going to fight, you and Egan? Is that
probably, yeah.
I think that's funny as hell.
It might be parking lot, bare knuckles after the show.
Got Golden Tate coming back.
By the way.
8 games remain.
Football Friday in the Fanatic is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, spoiler alert, you do. Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. I think Pat's about to throw down with Coach.
Why would I throw down?
8 games.
8 games remain. Golden Tate's back.
Philadelphia's football station.
You know, that's crazy. The imaging sounded so different that it caught me off guard. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, we got to change it up, Johnny. Yeah, but I just felt bad because you had done that whole segment about...
Guess what? Let's not go back to that one.
I felt bad. You did this whole thing about you come back, you're excited for Dallas week, and I was like, I turned to Coach and said, you know, he's right. Like, let's get him in the mood.
Let's get in the mood. Okay, so I understand that part of it.
That's the most up-to-date one we had.
It's incredible. It is good, though. Coach is, you know, Coach is all over it, though. There's going to be great ones. 10 o'clock today on Anthony Gargano's show. They're going to have them.
And the phones will work.
To be all set. And the phones will work too.
Yeah, it'll work for us.
I think I fixed them.
How?
Well, you just turn them on and off. Yeah.
No,
I took the profile off and put it back on.
So, oh, and so you think that's what happened?
We'll see. We'll check it out. Maybe Golden Tate will call up.
We'll check out Pump Man Philly. We love the Pump Man. All right, Phillies and the Pirates. And it's the next most important weekend of the year, and I just watched.
Opening day!
I just want to hear Bob just... So I can almost hear Bob rolling his eyes.
No, I'm good.
That it's the next most important... So tonight when you're at PJ's...
Uh-huh. We'll watch the beginning.
You will watch the Phillies in a critical game. Now, hopefully, I'm trying to figure out here again what time they start the suspended game. Let me see, because when are we going to find out about the suspended game? It doesn't give a game time for the Braves suspended game. The regular game is supposed to start at 10:10 Eastern time. So you're figuring, when would they start the suspended game?
I would imagine West Coast time, they would start it at like maybe 4 o'clock to kind of have guys still in their normal
pregame
routine.
It's the bottom of the fifth, and it's a 7-inning game. Bottom of the fifth, 7-inning game. Braves will have 3 at-bats. They're down by 1. It's 5-4.
That should take, what, 2 innings with a bullpen?
Should take an hour and a half?
I was going to say an hour.
Okay. Yeah, I think hour. That would be fast, I think.
Maybe.
So maybe they started
3 or 4 out there?
Okay, so hopefully we're going to be able to see that right around when the Phillies are starting. We'll see the Braves cough away a game because there's 3 in the loss column. We need the loss column number to be 1 by Monday. I really believe you need it to be 1. So... Because you can't say you're going to go into Atlanta and sweep. You can easily say, yeah, I could see us going into Atlanta and winning 2 out of 3. The Phillies are winning the season series 9-7. So they absolutely are not intimidated playing in Atlanta. They're not intimidated playing the Braves. So, but I don't want to be here Monday morning having to say, Bob, we got to sweep the Braves. Because that
ain't happening.
That I don't believe it's happening.
No.
But if you said they can win 2 out of 3, you're believing. They could win 2 out of 3.
Sure
they could.
Oh, you don't seem like you believe it. Pat, do you believe?
I think they could win 2 out of 3.
So you realize if we get the loss column down to 1.
Yeah.
You win 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. Then you go into the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Take your pants off.
And there it is. It's right in front of you. Right in front of you.
Do I believe they could win 2 out of 3 against Atlanta? Sure. It's baseball. If they have to win 2 out of 3, do I believe they will do it? Absolutely not. That's how I'll say
it. Well, Joe did the thing, right, like 2 weeks ago where he kind of shifted the rotation a little bit. So it is lining up. Wheeler, Gibson, and your boy Nola in Atlanta, right?
That's what it is.
Wait, this is lining up for Aaron Nola.
It's Wheeler, Nola, Gibson, I think.
Okay.
I think it's Wheeler, Nola, Gibson, if I'm not mistaken.
The best part of all this is Sunday's Fan Appreciation Day, and the fans get to watch the bullpen game.
Well, if it's Adonis Medina going again.
Yeah, he looked good last night.
He looked good. I mean, he went 4 innings.
I'll be bold and beautiful. I believe that they are going to win all 3 weekend games against the Pirates.
Wow.
This is
a hot take.
I know.
Alert.
It is hot take. Just saying. I believe that they're going to win all 3 this weekend. And I think the Braves are going to split the 4 with the Padres.
All right, do the Phillies have to win all 3 against the Pirates this weekend?
They got to win 2 out of 3 minimum, but I think winning 3 out of 3 would just set you on. Because if you win 3 out of 3, the loss column number will be 1 going into that Braves series. Then all, you know, because the Mets have rolled over, they're rolled over and died. They got
the Braves, as is norm this time of the year.
And the Braves are at home next week. So it would be fun. Just tomorrow morning, my dream is tomorrow morning we wake up and the Phillies are a half game out of first. Somehow the Padres win both today. Phillies win. And then you're a half game out of first and you're saying, holy, this might happen. This can happen. Brad in Broomall, my original hometown, joins us. Brad, I can hear you. You're there. What's up, buddy?
Awesome. Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys.
Welcome in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good. So before I get to the Cowboys comment, I do want to spread some love. I thoroughly enjoy the show. It's more positive than most. I do want to highlight the one guy on there, Jamie. I've been listening to sports radio since I was a kid, you know, way back when, back as far as like the Flyers were on Prism, listening to the radio with my dad, and I think Jamie's got a very bright future in this radio sports business. I just think he's got the data, he's got personality, he's got flair, and I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you, Brad. Your Venmo payment is on the way.
That is really nice. A really bright future.
I appreciate that. Very
I like
kind
that.
You.
You're welcome. So, Cowboy Week, what I believe it is that the expectations are low. Since the majority of the past 20 years of my, I'm 40, so the past 20 years we've been talking about division titles, you know, with McNabb, even Carson Wentz, expectations were always high, except for a few years. The expectations are just low. So it's hard to get into it, like, let's go, you know, game day is going to be great, but the fact that it's, you know, we don't know what Jalen is. We don't know what Sirianni is. It's exciting. I can't wait. But Sirianni's a little goofy. Not sure where he's wearing those shirts. But, you know, I'm excited for Jalen. But we need to see it against quality teams.
You do think it's goofy, the shirts, though.
Yeah. It's
you do. Rough. It's goofy. Yeah, exactly. You're from Broomall. That's it. Where are you, Brad, where are you from in Broomall? What street?
Eastburn Road, the exit of Montgomery High School.
Oh, really? Right off the off Median Line.
Yeah, my parents are still there.
Mom,
over near Russell School.
Mom, I grew up on South Malin. How about that? Thank you, Brad. Love you. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad loves Jamie.
Goofy is a good word to describe Sirianni. Because it's lovable.
Goofy. And it's
you love goofy.
Yeah, but it's goofy right? And it's the whole
it's
shirt,
so goofy.
The whole shirt thing is goofy. Is goofy.
Yeah,
it's just goofy.
I like it.
That's fine. But I mean, but call for what it is.
I hope he has multiple T-shirts.
It's pandering. It's goofy.
Sure. Yeah, it's because he said he's going to wear one every day this week.
I had a gentleman saying to me earlier.
We got a couple.
Look at John Harbaugh. He's wearing a shirt, a team slogan shirt. I'm like, yes, it was their team slogan for off-season workouts and training camp. And everybody on the team wore the shirt. It wasn't a one-off, hi, I pulled up to the local Target and got a Beat Dallas shirt. It's different. Every team does those stupid off-season slogan shirts. Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn was great for them. Coach Bro had a million of them. He came in. He came in a couple years ago, and he walks into the first team meeting, and they say, "You're going to be able to see the first team meeting like live, so you can see him come into the room." And he's all up, and he goes, "Guys, I got to tell you, I am more woke for the beginning of this season than I've ever been."
Oh boy. Oh boy.
And we may have played that drop 1,000 times. Coach, that's not what woke means. You know, he comes in, but he comes in and he's like bounding around like a pro wrestler. And he's like, guys, I got to tell you, I am more woke for the beginning of this season than I've ever been. I'm like, good.
Well, one in Rome.
There you go.
I just want to say, by the way, it's really nice to hear from Jamie's cousins this time instead of yours.
I like that he said Jamie had flair.
He has style.
That's that goofy bleep you wear at TGI Fridays, right?
He had style. He had flair. He was there.
I get that reference.
Thanks, Pat. Yeah,
somebody gets me.
Space.
Yeah.
Pat, he had style. He had flair. He was there.
How many pieces of
flair
that's
you
how he
today,
became
Pat.
The nanny.
I only got Jamie's reference. I didn't get
oh, man. All right, well, why don't you make people some money this weekend, Pat?
It's time!
UFC Minute here, UFC 266 this weekend. It's headlined by Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega for the belt there. But this is starting off horribly. The early card prelims aren't great, but a couple ones that I do like. Yunus Medic versus Jalen Turner. I like Jalen Turner in that because Medic hasn't been out of the second round. Roxanne Modafari is going to get worked by Talia Santos. Local guy, Chris Dawkins, he's a local Philadelphia police officer. He's taking on Shamil Abdurakhmanov. That's a hell of a name. I like Dawkins. He's been a force since he entered the UFC. And then Dan Hooker taking on Nasrat Haqparast. Nasrat Haqparast, really good, but I like Dan Hooker because he just face better experience. And then one of my locks is Mirab Davalishvili versus Marlon Moraes. And then finally for the main card, real quick, Jessica Andrade is going to beat Cynthia Calvillo. Curtis Blaydes is going to lose to Jarzino Rozenstrike. Robbie Lawler taking on Nick Diaz. Take Robbie Lawler because Nick Diaz hasn't fought in about 10 years. Valentina Shevchenko, lock of the century. And then I like Brian Ortega.
Wow, right up against the post.
Good job, Patrick.
Thank you.
Great work, Pat.
Wait, so this Philly police officer, how much longer till he can quit his Philly police job and just...
He's getting up there. I mean, like the fighters aren't really paid much at all.
I saw where one fighty won $7,200 or something.
Yeah, so when you first sign, you get paid virtually nothing. You have to hope for bonuses, and you get bonuses with knockouts. And he actually did get some
knockout
bonuses.
You get bonuses with knockouts, okay.
Hey, it's like fight of the night, performance bonus. So he actually won, which is an extra $50,000.
Oh.
But he ended up going back to work the next day. So hopefully he's getting up there where he can quit. But he's a good story.
Hey,
North Catholic.
You have to explain the Golden Tate stuff to our YouTube crew.
Yeah, we got some tweets and everybody's trying to figure out what happened.
As you were talking about the Dallas week, me and Coach were looking at some of the old imaging spots that we had, and that one was stuck out because 8 games remaining and Golden Tate, the star wide receiver, and it's like that doesn't fit at all this upcoming game. All we needed was Sunday Night Football. So we thought, oh, it'd be funny to come back.
Because people are now all screwed up wondering about
and
Golden
look,
Tate.
Not every joke hits, but...
I like the attempt.
We tried.
I do like the attempt.
Me and Coach were here, we're trying.
It was a good try.
And I also like that we changed our imaging style.
Yeah. I do like that. Shoot or shoot. Hey,
he's a free agent.
Coach?
I mean, it's not too late. You can
Coach,
go get
how
him.
Are you?
Yeah, it wasn't...
I like
me
it.
Me and Coach.
Oh, what?
Pat Egan.
That's the bit. I mean, he was in the room.
He was in on it. He was in on the bit.
No, I was not in on the bit.
Pat, I love it.
Yeah, like was Coach in on the bit? To say he was in the room.
Well, sometimes Coach just rubber stamps stuff and says, just, you know how Coach is perfect. I take you behind the curtain here. As running this show, sometimes Coach just says, I trust you. Do what you want.
And that's a mistake.
Really? He says that to you? He's never said that to me.
that was
He's
Coach's
never
downfall.
Said it to me either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Coach failed with that. So we
it's
decided to try to get you in the mood for a little bit for
I
Dallas.
Like that.
But the last imaging spots we had were from Golden Tate, so we figured that maybe that would work and you wouldn't even notice. Apparently the YouTube community did.
There you go.
But thanks for listening.
Hey, Temple football battles Wagner tomorrow at noon at Lincoln Financial Field. Kids 8th grade and younger get to score a touchdown on the field against Wagner. No, it just says after the game. But you could score against Wagner, I promise you. Visit owlsticks.com. I do not know where Wagner is.
Staten Island.
Is it?
Yeah, the Fighting Rich Cotites.
What are they, though?
I don't actually know what they are.
Do they play in Villanova's? Are they Villanova's level?
Oh, I don't know.
They're an FCS school.
Okay.
I don't know if they play Villanova per se, but I know they're FCS. And
I heard Staten Island.
Yeah,
I heard Mike and Brian Westbrook having some fun with Coach Ferrante yesterday, getting ready for the game.
Sweet.
And Mike, the big trip up, Brian Westbrook would not drive up with him.
He won't go up with him?
No, they're going to the game together, but he wouldn't drive up with them because he goes, Mike's going to inundate him with Penn State stuff the whole way.
Yeah, good point. Good move
by Brian.
They're
all big. I think it's exciting for the Villanova people, though, to feel like they're playing big boy football.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
It's exciting.
Welcome to the table, right, Pat?
Probably going to tweet you and say you couldn't get into Villanova.
Welcome to the table? Yeah, I got into Villanova. Yes.
All right.
I didn't apply to Penn State, though.
Did you?
Pat.
I know.
There you go.
You did this.
Sometimes you just got to, like, you know, plant a bomb and run away.
All right, in Cooney's Corner,
it's
this won't
happen
be-
next break, then.
Bob's already planted a few bombs during the commercials. But in Cooney's Corner, the best player that needs to answer the bell on Monday night is...
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Look, I think we'd all be in agreement. Everybody in football knows the most important position is the quarterback. So we can't take that away. So we're excluding, in this conversation, we're excluding Jalen Hurts. Is there a player on this Eagles team that you think needs to have a really good game, needs to stick out on this team Monday night in order for them to win?
Yes.
You have somebody right in mind.
Top of mind.
Because I have one also.
Top of mind.
It may be the same person.
I don't believe so because I'm going to a different side of the ball than you.
Okay. What do you got?
I think you're going to the offensive side of the ball.
And that is correct.
I'm going to the defensive side of the ball.
All right. You're going Fletcher Cox.
No, I'm not. I'm going Big Play Slay, which I don't understand where the nickname comes from because I never see it.
Well, he was a big play guy until he got to Philadelphia.
Okay, well, I would like to see what that nickname means.
That's a good one.
And that is, to me, it's going to be extremely necessary on Monday night.
No matter who he's lined up against, and I don't think the Eagles will line him up with somebody specifically because they have too many good wide receivers. No matter who he's matched up against, he's got to play well. We're going to have to hear his name. Who's yours, James?
Dallas Goedert.
Ooh. It's not Bob's name. I know who Bob's name is. I think I do. Dallas, though?
You don't have a veteran in the wideout group. Dallas needs to kind of show he's a backbone of this offense. I think he's capable of home run type plays. They need a home run type of play, you know, outside of Quez Watkins where you actually score on. I just think he's your most reliable receiving option right now. And I think this is a game that's going to go over. And I think there's going to be some offense. And I need as reliable a receiving threat as I have on this team. And to me, that's Dallas Goedert right now.
Pat, you got somebody?
Yeah, Javon Hargrave. He's been really good early on.
He's been spectacular.
This season, he needs to continue that strong play and just be all up in Dak's face. And not only that, but also stop Zeke when the point of attack, when they try to run the ball. But... that defensive line needs to get after it, and I think he's probably got the best chance to do so.
I got your name.
You probably do.
Devontae Smith.
Oh, no. You
really?
Don't. Yes. No, you don't.
Miles?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's I love Miles. My best friend.
It's your best friend. Exactly.
He's
your
best friend, too.
Penn Stater.
Yeah. That offensive of Dallas is really good. They ran the ball great last week against the Chargers. They can throw the ball all over the place. I really think, like I said earlier this week, the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles is going to have to control the ball a little bit. Maybe even more than a little bit. They're going to have to keep the ball in their possession in order to keep Dallas off the field. And I think it'll happen if you get a really good running game going. I'm not saying that Miles Sanders is going to get the ball 20, 25 times. I don't think that's going to happen. But Miles Sanders has to give you good clips on first down, on second down. He's got to be almost an every down back on Monday, more so than he really has been or been asked to do in other games in his career. So that's the guy that I'm really looking at. If he can get you 18 carries for 100 yards and he's knocking off $4 or $5,
my man can do that.
That's what I'm thinking. And a couple out of the backfield would be cool.
I gave him a clean slate, and he has taken every advantage of the clean slate.
Yeah, I'd like to see him involved in the passing game a little bit here.
Well, that's not up to him.
No, it's not.
And he hasn't been dropsies.
Nope,
he hasn't
not yet.
Been, so...
But I feel like they're avoiding it just so he's not dropsies. I think week one he had 3 catches, but they were all kind of like borderline handoff.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Carson stunk.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I just love what I'm seeing out of our man.
That would be great.
He's mine.
I really key on that. I think this offense just has to kind of grind out some minutes. And... Throwing doesn't get it done.
No,
you're going to have to establish a pretty good running game.
That's a really good point.
I'm looking at that for Miles Sanders.
Really good point. Yeah, I didn't thought about that. They're going to have to win the time of possession battle in this game if they want a shot.
Thing is, Dallas has such a quick hit offense. I understand what you're saying, Pat, about that. If you're talking about winning the time of possession battle to limit possessions, then I'm cool. It's just that I think Dallas scores. Dallas can score four touchdowns in 20 minutes. I mean, not even 20 minutes of clock. They can move the ball downfield in chunks. And we haven't seen if this Eagles offense is going to break. At some point, they're going to break. We're going to come in some morning, and I'm going to have to be critical of Jonathan Gannon.
Nah,
I hope it's not Tuesday.
Players, you won't blame him.
I hope it's not Tuesday.
Are you going to say it's not your fault? It was me.
I'm gonna be better
as a fan.
I'm gonna have his back.
I'll tell you what, when that day happens, John,
yes,
you have 4 people here ready to give you a hug.
I'm gonna have his back at every turn.
It's not your fault.
And if Jonathan turns his back on me, Coach, I want a request for Jonathan Gannon, by the way.
Oh, it's a, a re- Yeah, no, we won't get that, but we can put
well,
it
I
in.
I know that.
Yeah, but we can put it in.
I know that, yeah.
Or just get shot down.
No, I already did. They're asking if you please stay 500 feet away from them.
Yeah, they're a little weirded
Look,
out.
Look, the other day, he used the plus instead of the super. When he was putting the gas in the car, all I did was walk up to him and say, hey, don't cut that short. Use the best gas.
You use the heart emojis when you write his name?
No, and my DMs are open, and I could just say maybe he slid in.
The little winky eye with the heart kiss thing. There.
You think Gannon and Sirianni have burner accounts? I think they all do.
The way Nick Sirianni tries so hard, I guarantee it.
I think they all
but
do.
But I do not believe Nick Sirianni would be the type to go on and use a burner account to rip people.
No, I don't think they're tweeting. I think they're just following.
They're not Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they're searching their name. They're following. They're doing all that.
All right, Nick Sirianni beat himself up. He did. He told us over and over again. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hey, are you looking for a way to race in the upcoming Broad Street Run? I hear it's a great time. The AACR Runners for Research team is trying to help the American Association for Cancer Research raise $250,000 to support life-saving cancer research. And thankfully, as a two-time cancer survivor, I know the value that every single dollar counts. That's why the AACR is the official charity of this show. Well, registration for race weekend is now open. And the AACR is your ticket into the event. Plus, you can get some really cool race swag if you want to join the team. You can run in memory of a loved one, run in memory of somebody who is fighting right now. It's going to be a great event. Here, join the AACR Runners for Research team. Send an email to runners@AACR.org. That's runners@AACR.org. And if you're already registered for the race, but you want to join the Runners for Research team, you can easily convert your entry and set up a fundraising page. You need more information? runners@AACR.org. Consider making a donation too at thephiladelphiamarathon.com/donate. Because I know for a fact, cancer research saves lives.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
You put away the Reds mask. You're getting ready to take a bike ride this weekend. You've already popped your 5-hour energy and you're thinking, I need some new imaging.
Dog mentality.
All of you bosses, it's Friday. That means we get to walk out of here and say, we are free. We're working for the weekend with Loverboy. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic.
Stop, he's already shed.
9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. I appreciate the big boss not wearing his red stuff now because the Cardinals have just rampaged everybody.
They won, what, 12 in a row?
They were losing by...
If you compare the September history of the St. Louis Cardinals side-by-side next to the Philadelphia Phillies, it would be hilarious in a depressing kind of way.
Every single year, they are in the hunt.
Yeah.
Why?
Every year.
Because it's baseball heaven, John.
I was thinking about this the other day, or actually last night, when I realized that the last time they lost a game was a day after the NFL season started.
That's incredible.
They are one of the most unlikable, like in my
really?
Opinion. Like, I can't stand them.
I hate them,
because
too.
Of everything that you guys have laid out. They always win. They draft well. They're a well-run organization.
Okay. Yeah.
I hate them.
All right, that's
fine. I stand them.
Stinking Carpenter. Sports Justice doesn't have Roy Halladay losing to Chris Carpenter.
Their manager's a jerk.
That's not right.
That Schilt, Mike Schilt, I think his name is.
Sounds like a
jerk.
Schilt.
He's an absolute jerk.
He's a jerk.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage either. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Got so much coming up for you in this hour of the show. By the way, Sergio Garcia's wife wants U.S. fans to be nice at the Ryder Cup.
Well, go play in Europe.
She says she's rooting for the European team, but U.S. fans are embarrassing with their ridicule of the European players.
Does she understand what's at stake here?
And they say not nice things about them.
Oh, can't stand the heat. Get out the kitchen.
And she says that she would like everybody to just be nice.
Wait, when did Sergio Garcia marry Rich Paul?
Yeah, well, no. But you know what I would have said to her? And if she'd like to come on the show, I'd say, you know, Sergio should have been nice too. Like when he was engaged and, you know, you can do all that stuff.
I don't even know his.
There's plenty of stories about Sergio. Yeah, he had plenty of stories.
Is he a swordsman?
No, he's not the best guy. Hmm. Now, he's not Rory McIlroy. He didn't break off an engagement by text.
That was low.
That's the lowest of
poor Caroline.
Wasn't that's it, the lowest of the low.
Wasn't it Phil Collins who told his wife he wanted a divorce via fax?
I think it was
Phil Collins. He sent her a fax.
Well, I told you I wanted out. I sent you a fax.
I'm so sorry for everyone who has to listen to this.
I sent you a fax.
That's a power move.
It is.
Yeah, that's really
cool. Oh, sweet. We're getting a fax. I want a divorce.
Move out by the weekend.
All the sounds of the fax. All right. Nick Sirianni talked yesterday of beating himself up over and over again. Yeah, I beat myself up more than you guys can. I beat myself up more than anybody. I beat myself up. I go back. I beat myself up so bad. Hey, Nick, you don't understand. If you're 1 in 5, you don't know what beating yourself up is going to be. Because the city will start beating you up. I hope you were not too easy on yourself when you were beating yourself up. He rattled off all the names of the guys on his offensive staff that had previously been play callers. And I think there were 4 of them. He says he's counting on them to hold him accountable to make good decisions. Okay. I couldn't believe no one asked the question. If that's the case, where were they last Sunday? Where were they in that entire sequence of play calls? Why didn't he have a communication system set up to let them talk him out of that disastrous play calling? Because if you have 4 guys on your staff who've called plays that you trust that are going to hold you accountable, being held accountable on Monday morning isn't the same as being held accountable when you're thinking about doing something really dumb. I want to know if there's a checks and balances system in place during the course of a game, if they're involved on that. Who's on it? And how did the hell did they let that happen last Sunday? I got to tell you, I'm more confused than ever. I don't want to hear about checks and balances of all these guys who have been play callers before. If they're checking and balancing you on Monday, somebody needs to be checking you during a game when you've never had this responsibility before. And that's where we begin the final hour of the week on the John Kincaid Show with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and, of course, the coach, Eric Camille. Too rough, Bob? I mean, like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, that shirt really got to you, didn't it?
No, that's the play callers. I mean, he's saying, oh, I beat myself up. I think he said it a ton of times.
Yeah.
And that nobody could beat himself up worse than he will.
Dog mentality.
Yeah, like we said, home opener, you're so excited. Was it a case that they were in his ear and he said, no, I got this, and went with his own? Final say is going to be his, right?
Correct.
So maybe that's what he's beating himself up about also, that he didn't say that. They tried to talk me out of it, but I didn't. I thought I knew better than everyone else, the collective group.
I would like to have heard that if that's what happened.
Yeah,
it sounds like they do it the day after. So they go in after a game, and all these guys with play calling experience say to them, I wouldn't have called that. Because I guarantee you, none of the other guys would have said, you know what's a great call? The Philly special.
Yeah,
which was pandering.
I can't imagine a lot of veteran NFL offensive people would have thought that was a great idea there. As we said, that was something he had in the back of his mind. He wanted to win over fans, and he wanted to. It just wasn't a good call there.
Correct.
But, I would assume that everyone's in his ear. I mean, you can't have
too many people.
Yeah, you can't have too many things. But, you know, on their charts, what he says, he's talking to them. I would assume that some of the guys were like, whoa, let's just keep it simple. Keep it simple. And he didn't. He went with other things. So maybe that's what he's beating himself up about also. Look, they're just going to have to learn from each other. They have to learn about their players. They have to learn from each other. They haven't been on a coaching staff with each other for more than, 120 minutes. So it's different. They have to figure it out.
Yeah, checks and balances, I think that just falls on Steichen. I don't know officially how
during
it's,
the game. I don't know who's.
Yeah, I don't want too many voices in my head coach's ear, especially when it comes to play calls. Like, that should be a one- and two-man thing to me. So that falls on Shane Steichen to, you know, feel comfortable enough to speak up and to say his opinions, and I don't think this is going to work, or I think this is the play, you know, but they have, what, 45 seconds to determine this? So, you know, I don't want a lot of voices. I don't want too many checks and balances. I want to trust in the two of them that they're doing the right thing. And I think when he says he's beating himself up, he's heard the Philly special stuff and that he was pandering and it was a bad. So I think he's beating himself up over it. I mean, he even said after the game, I talked to my brother about it. Like, he knew he screwed up. And I think he's been dragging himself over the coals all week for it.
I would say is that you need more immediacy. It would be like saying you got a puppy and the puppy poops on the carpet. And correcting the puppy 3 hours later for pooping on the carpet doesn't do you any good.
Oh, yeah, because they're dumb and they're
guess what? Same thing works with us. Same thing works with me, as I would say, if you got a problem with if your wife doesn't want you to do something around the house, I'm like, don't tell me about it the next day. Tell me when it happens. Just tell me so I know, instead of telling me, like, well, David, well, yesterday you walked in the house with muddy shoes on.
Right. I do that all the time. She hates me.
Why didn't you tell? Yeah. Man, it's really not going to go over.
She hates when I don't take them off.
Oh.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are in his ear on the play calling. I wonder how it works. I wonder if they all have sheets that say, fourth and goal inside the three or first and goal inside whatever. I guess it must all be there. He has to have someone else in his ear, I would assume.
Well, the analytics guys, I believe,
yeah,
are.
Yeah, they get. Yeah.
And but it's that whole idea of...
But that's only situational.
Checks and balances. If there was something going on at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or 7 o'clock, coach needs to whisper in my ear or whatever and go, John, just you're doing something here. You can't do that. Instead of waiting, let me do it for 3 more hours. And then at 10 o'clock say, well, now, by the way, you did it 17 times today. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You needed to stop me.
That's because he's a coward.
He didn't do that.
What's crazy about the Philly special play, like, and that's the one that everyone's like harping on for obvious reasons, it didn't work because it wasn't the Philly special. The reason the Philly special worked is because you had Nick Foles go to Lane Johnson, act like he was doing an audible, and the defense wasn't ready to snap the ball. What Nick Sirianni did, okay, yeah, after the ball was snapped, it's the same play, but Jalen Hurts was where he was supposed to be. He snapped the ball. Like, there was no confusion at the line. It was a regular play. So the defense was ready for it because there was absolutely no confusion, which is what made the Philly special the Philly special.
And again, if that's the Philly special is not Philly, something Philly. That comes up and goes, well, I just thought that was the best play call.
No.
I want him to have a sheet that says, this is your best fourth and three. The best play. And here's 3-4 options. Your best play calls. Philly special is not one of them.
I think he learned a huge lesson last weekend.
Hope so.
To not do that crap ever again and to just go with the best call and don't worry about flair and looking cool and getting the fans behind you. Just, you know what? We'll get behind you with a touchdown.
And he worries about this stuff at press conferences, off the field, and he worries about it during games. He worries
about
that.
But I think
that.
He learned. Because this whole year is going to be, you know, learning curves.
I know, but it's
left
just,
and right.
He's worried about stuff like that, even during a game. How can I make these people love me?
He did worry about it.
I
think he's
going to
be a sponge and learn from it, and I don't think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, and like I said, maybe, just maybe, there was the beating up was because he didn't listen more to others. So I'm going to say that there's part of that in there, because I agree with you, John. I don't think there's any way that if you have 4 or 5 offensive guys that they all agreed that those were the
Philly
four best
specials,
play to
the
run.
Best play to, and yeah. that offensive sequence was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a terrible sequence.
But again, if he hits Zach Ertz on the shovel pass, it's a touchdown. It's just, you know, sometimes that happens. I think he'll learn from it.
9 a.m. hour again, brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag, and you can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. And wait a minute, Pat Egan wants to give stuff away? What?
Yeah, I'm feeling generous.
What?
John, you know I'm a big Temple football fan.
Yeah, you're
right?
A proud pride of Temple University.
Some people would say that. I would not. But we have 4 pairs of tickets to go see them battle Wagner on Saturday at noon, which is a game that you can hear right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's at Lincoln Financial Field. Kids in eighth grade or younger can score a touchdown on the field after the game as a part of parent-child touchdown toss day. Visit owlsticks.com for tickets. But it's cool because you can catch a touchdown on the field, same field that Devontae Smith catches touchdowns.
That is awesome. And hopefully Temple will be scoring lots of touchdowns.
Oh, they're gonna hammer him.
Just hammer Wagner, please.
It will. Can I bet this safely?
I don't think yes. Is it on the boards?
If it is, hammer Temple.
If the Villanova game's on the boards.
Yeah.
I mean, why would this game be on the boards?
At this point, they pretty much have everything on the board. But.
Hey, young Sheldon joins the Big Bang Theory on PHL 17. Be like the Coonies and watch every night at 7 and 9:30, starting on Monday. Family night every night on PHL 17. Little Sheldon Cooper action. Little Sheldon Cooper action. How are you going to win tickets?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we never actually mentioned how
how do you win?
Win the Temple tickets.
It helps if you did that.
We just told you about it. So you can call our contest line at 215-263-0975. We have four pair of tickets to give away. 215-263-0975.
Get on. Get on. Take advantage. In the linchpin, Jamie says this guy can't be handled by one person.
This is the linchpin.
Fletcher Cox, your life is about to get a lot better.
Fletcher Cox.
I believe. Javon Hargrave can no longer be single blocked. He is dominating people this year.
Long Cox.
And I don't know how much longer teams can get away with single blocking him. They're going to have to chip him. They're going to have to throw a tight end on him. He is manhandling people. He's been one of the most effective defensive linemen in the entire NFL so far through two games. He's showing you why Howie Roseman paid him pretty big coin last offseason. He came on at the end of last season. You know, he started out with an ankle injury, a COVID era, new system. It was just kind of not an ideal start. He came on late last year, and he is taking that and running with it. I think teams are going to have to look. Bob's been pointing it out. I think they're going to have to start worrying about Hargrave more than they worry about Cox. And I think that's great news for Fletcher Cox.
It's disappointing to me.
Yeah, but...
And if you have to worry more about Hargrave than Fletcher Cox, that's disappointing to me.
But if Fletcher's still steady and Hargrave's out kicking his expectation, then that's a good thing.
I'm not paying him to be steady.
Yeah, he's
not that paycheck.
Yeah. Well, if it takes some of the, and we all talk about it, the double teaming, if it takes some of that away and maybe Fletcher Cox does start to show up with less double teams, then great.
He needs to take advantage, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. He showed up a little bit more last week than he did week one. I still need to see more, but Hargrave has been.
It's been fantastic.
I'll tell you what, the way he gets off the ball,
he looks like a DN playing D tackle.
Yeah, I think it was the first play against San Francisco. He blew it up. He almost knew that. It seemed like he knew what the count was, and he just blew it up the first play. He's good. He's fun to watch. He's
well, a lot
of
fun. Once he got healthy, he didn't arrive here healthy.
No, he had an ankle injury, I believe it was.
Boy, he looks great now.
Yeah, he's been one of the brightest spots of the year by far. Him and Jordan Mailata are just taking their momentum and running with it. And
Hargrave
it's a great thing.
Is
26?
26? I'm guessing 6. So there it is, 26,
maybe,
I believe.
28.
Ooh.
But he was born in February. He just turned 28 this year.
Okay, so this is his 28th year. You maybe have for an impact guy, what, 32, 33?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, 32, 33.
I mean, what's Fletcher now, 31?
Fletcher's 31.
I'll tell you what, if Fletcher doesn't end up making an impact, then that's a bigger issue.
Yeah, totally.
I'm more concerned. Watching these games, I am excited that Javon Hargrave is living up to the amount of money that he got paid because he was a huge signing for the Eagles. And he came with a lot of high expectations and he didn't live up to it the first year because of the injury. But I'm excited to see in the first 2 weeks him live up to that. But everything, I haven't even thought of it, Bob. Everything you just laid out with, okay, he's getting dominated. You know, Jamie. He's dominating and teams are going to have to game plan with him. If Fletcher Cox can't make an impact that way.
Oh, then that's a sign of the end.
There is not.
There's no saving face at that point.
I'm pull up the window here. Brian says, who is it here? Let me just say. Yeah, Brian says, it's an old tire take to get on Cox. He's a beast, and any other team would love to have him. I don't think at that price tag, you'd have a lot of teams. I think he is not the player. He is not a beast anymore. He has not played. If you've watched the two games this year, He has not been a beast in either game.
Not on the stat sheet. I still think his presence is very felt.
I understand.
And to your point, for $25 million, you should be getting more.
You're a beast.
Right. But
and guess what? Have we seen
a lot of teams would love to have Fletcher Cox.
I understand, but we've seen Fletcher Cox be a beast.
Yeah, he's had 2 10-sack seasons.
I don't think he was a beast last year.
He was good.
He was good. He wasn't a beast. He wasn't this game wrecker.
It's not fair to compare him to Aaron Donald. I know a lot of people do that.
It's not
because
fair.
Aaron Donald's going to be one of the greatest all-time defensive linemen in NFL history.
But if you're going to throw out there the guy's a beast. A beast is tearing you up. He doesn't do that anymore.
I mean, he's a quiet player. He's going to go to Canton.
I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not talking about a career. I'm
but he's still good.
Achievement award.
Whoa.
And I'm not sure he's going to Canton.
Fletcher Cox is a Hall of Famer?
Probably.
I don't think I'm going there.
No, he's going to be on the all-decade team of the 2010s, right? Him and Aaron Donald? And if you're on an all-decade team, you're
probably going.
You're probably going.
I think him
and Jason Kelce are close to... I mean, Kelce's a lock. I think Fletcher Cox will be there, yeah. But agreed. I want a little more this year.
Yeah, but the thing is he's not being paid to be a guy. And as last week on the broadcast, going back and watching it, Schlereth at one point says he's been a little quiet. His impact on the games are quiet.
Sure.
And that's not what a beast does.
No,
a beast takes over again,
but his presence is felt. Like, he disrupts a lot of pockets.
Sure.
And that's not to be discredited. It's just never going to show up on a stat sheet.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, though.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
I no. don't. Like, no. it's... I don't. Pat, do you...
Jimmy makes a good point with the all-decade team. I mean,
let me confirm that he was, in fact,
decade.
On it.
I believe he was.
Team.
I think he was. I think he was on that team.
He's at least in the conversation, for sure. It might be a situation of, he's got to wait a while. But Jamie makes a good point. I haven't thought of it either. He's very, very good, but I hadn't thought of him as a Hall of Famer. But
there you go. I think he's had a very quiet.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins were your 2010 All-Decade Team D tackles.
Wow. I guess it's.
I'm not going to go.
No, it's not like you're saying he's terrible. But
no,
he's,
I'm not.
But he's
gonna,
not. And also, too, I don't care.
I think he's close to a lock, to be honest with you.
Well.
Yeah, I never thought of it. I really don't do that until they get done playing. Usually, but I don't know. First Hall of Famer is always a first thought to me. My first thought isn't that.
Where
he's
I say,
a Hall
and
of
I,
Famer,
and that's what I think. That idea, Bob.
Yeah.
If I throw a name at you, you say Hall of Famer. Hall
Jamie
of Famer
makes a good point with the
all-decade teams. Nothing to sneeze at.
No.
That defensive line for the 2010s is nasty. Aaron. Oh, and Sue was also on there. They have 4 D tackles.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
They have 4 D tackles.
Okay, Fletcher in that foursome.
4 DNs.
Fletcher in that foursome is third.
I'd take him over Geno Atkins.
Yes.
But behind Donald and most likely Sue.
I think he's
Brian.
Considerably behind both
the
of them.
The DNs were J.J. Watt, Julius Peppers, Cam Jordan, and Calais Campbell.
There you go.
That's a nasty line.
That is nasty. Just wouldn't want to be a quarterback.
Luke Kuechly made it.
Huh.
Can you, well.
Kind of a short sample size, right? Wasn't it only?
No, I think Luke Kuechly's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He was a stud.
What,
it was
eight years for Luke Kuechly?
I don't know how many years he got in.
It was longer than that.
8 years, maybe?
I don't think so. I felt like it was only like 5 or 6.
I'm going to go eight.
I thought he was drafted either the year before Fletcher or.
I'm saying eight. Then he had
eight on the nose.
Eight, yeah. There you go. All right, we got more coming your way. Does this matter as much as it used to? It doesn't seem like it does. What are we talking about? We'll see. I think Jamie, like that one caller said, though, Brad from Broomall, I think he may be a Hall of Famer by the time he's done. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Well, if you've got a ticket for Fletcher Cox to go to Canton, Ohio one day, PropSwap will be America's marketplace for you to sell or buy that sports bet. Check out the new PropSwap.com, which is filled with fresh features like you can filter your tickets based on the value you want to send, sell, or buy for. You can browse the activity feed to stay in the know. And you have a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash and much more. Use promo code ODDS on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets, including me.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sticky.
To rock around, that's right, on time is
sticky. Sticky. Sticky.
To rock around, that's right, on time is
sticky.
Hey.
Sticky.
Coach, does that make up for the Golden Tate rejoin? Because that's freaking awesome.
That was Connor.
Connor did that?
Yeah, he did that unprovoked. He's coming for my job.
Connor Thomas.
It's concerning.
He was so excited about it.
Connor, that was fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, you hear why. It was good.
Connor, that was really good.
It was the rare good imaging spot on the John Kincaid show.
I got to tell you, though, good on your part that you did not try to Bogart his success.
No, my key card no longer works here.
Oh, you didn't realize that?
Yeah,
that's why Joe Bell was here earlier?
It's a fry, yeah.
Song reminds me of SSX Tricky.
Yeah, I mean,
great
it's a
video
great,
game.
Great. It's one of it's a top.
Okay, tell me.
It's a snowboarding game, but it was so
snowboarding
fun.
Game? And that was this track?
That was the main, like, homepage screen, yeah. You know, song.
So when you're picking your...
Yeah.
Picking what
you
level you're
that,
playing.
You would just hear that on loop, and it's, like, tattooed in my brain.
Tattoo.
God, that was a good game.
It was.
The name of this week, the Eagles Dallas game. So I'm getting people that are now telling me, John, it's Friday, chill, it'll be off the chain by Monday. First of all, I said back to Dave, I said, okay, Dave, I'll chill, but is off the chain still a thing? I didn't think off the chain was still a thing. I just said to him,
off the chain wax?
I didn't think off the chain was still a thing. It's one of those ones where I would get the eye roll from Liv.
Oh, bikes still have chains?
Yeah, I get the eye roll if I use something. Dad, nobody
says
that.
I think that's not
nobody
going
says
anywhere.
That anymore.
What, you're not woke?
She'll say no. Dan Quinn's always off on this. He says, by Monday, everybody will be all fired up. It's because it's Friday. Think of it as game day is Sunday. So a typical Sunday. So on Saturday, Friday, he goes, we're in the middle of the week. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I think it's going to be crazy on Monday.
I don't.
Not what he's expecting. Well, yeah, it's not going to be like Eagles, Cowboys years past when they were both 4-0 or...
I think it's a little...
But no, it's Monday night Eagles, Dallas.
Eagles
fans' expectations for the most part are held at a safe distance this year. So I think that applies to big matchups, too.
Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com and get in on that. And if you're one of the winners of the Temple tickets, enjoy them beating Wagner. I got a...
I could not find the line on DraftKings.
By the way, Timothy sends in an email and he says, I'm one of your only proud Wagner listeners. I can guarantee that. And he says, you said Staten Island with a certain shade to it. Did I say Staten Island with shade to it?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't listening.
I didn't think so. I wasn't even listening at that point.
He checked out.
Come on now. Staten Island. I'm like, he said, you said it with a certain shade on it.
By the way, I'm going to have eyes on your boy this weekend. Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Big game Saturday. Was it Kyle Wilson?
Kyle Hamilton.
All right, I'm gonna watch him Saturday.
He is Spider-Man. They would do at the Maris game. You hear da 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 da. He's Spider-Man.
And there's another one I want to watch too. This Malik Willis kid, Liberty's playing
Syracuse.
Oh, the
Liberty quarterback.
Yeah, I want to watch him. They're 6.5-point favorites at Syracuse.
Okay, I'm scared.
Hamilton, 6'4".
He's fantastic.
Yeah, big
kid's amazing. Kid is that. Plus, he played wide receiver. He'd play wide receiver. He'd play tight end. He'd return kicks.
Sure.
He did it all. And he was an absolute, just methodical monster.
Well, that's what I'll be doing
Welcome
Saturday.
Welcome in. We'll say Kyle Hamilton out of Marist School. So Marist School in Atlanta. I'll take it in. Do broadcasters matter as much as they used to? Because yesterday when I saw the announcement that the 76ers had their new voice, People were saying, what does it matter? Who cares about play-by-play guys? And I'm thinking about the royalty. And Kate Scott coming into town is filling big shoes because Mark Zumoff is a treasure. Mark Zumoff is a legendary voice of this town. But there were a lot of people that were responding, who cares about play-by-play person? Bob, you turned down events. Now, you don't turn down a Philly sporting event play-by-play as far as if you're watching a Sixers game, if you're watching a whatever it is.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
I don't turn the sound down. It's like a mental thing where
On national games, this is.
It's really weird. Yeah, I can tune out the announcers, and then when I think I need to hear something or something's going on, then I'll consciously listen. But it really doesn't rule my day when I'm watching a game, I swear.
Okay, but for the local team, you do listen to the play-by-play,
local team,
right?
I do.
So you do.
Because,
you have it up. So it matters.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's more national to you.
Curry's a timely deuce.
But a lot of people were like, who cares? It doesn't matter. Who listens to the play-by-play?
No, I think it's
anymore.
Huge. I mean, you're inviting that person into your living room 81 times or 82 times a year. That's a lot.
I think it's huge, too.
That's like, what, nearly a third of your calendar year. This person's going to be in your living room talking to you for 3 hours a night.
Okay, so I get an email from a gentleman last night talking about it, and I got to find it. And he was saying, John, if you read, you're because I responded to somebody saying, I'm shocked on social media. Like, I'm shocked that you think it's not a big deal. And he responds back and he says, if you look here, if you're under 30, most people watch games on their phone. How about 60? Yeah, now it's Yahoo. We believe Yahoo, right?
No.
60. There goes the Yahoo endorsement for Jamie. That was Jamie Lynch. 61%.
Love their fantasy leagues.
61% on a Yahoo poll of sports watching fans under the age of 30. Say they watch it while they're scrolling through their phone.
I don't buy that. I'm not saying that people don't do it. I wonder if that includes streaming. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, they're while scrolling through their phone.
I don't buy that.
But you do it.
You do it.
I don't. I
you
occasionally
watch Eagles game and you yeah. tweet all the time. So you're scrolling through your phone while you're watching the game.
Oh,
you're
I thought not, he's saying watching the game.
No,
on
they're
the,
watching. No. no, they're watching their game. As they scroll through their phone, so they're doing two things at once.
I thought you meant watching the game
on
the phone.
No, they're watching and they're doing two things at once.
Oh, I do that.
So that's why he's saying, I don't think, and this guy's 27 years old. He's a 27-year-old. He said, I am scrolling through my phone. I'm checking stats. I'm watching fantasy.
Sure, I do all that.
While I'm watching the game, he goes, so many times the play-by-play just...
Well,
I miss what the play-by-play guy's saying. I'm watching the game. I'm looking
degree
at my
that.
Phone.
Sure, I can buy that.
I don't
to a
do. I'll pick it up sometimes if something happens. Usually during a timeout.
I love it in the Eagles game.
I'm distracted.
Yeah, I can't.
That would distract.
There's 13
me a little too
minutes of action in 3.5 hours.
I know. I don't.
There's a lot of downtime in the NFL
sure
when you're as a viewer. So there's time to do that stuff.
Pat,
NBA,
are you on it all the
NBA
time?
And hockey are nonstop. Baseball has a lot of natural delays in it. But basketball and hockey, it's really tough. Football's easy.
I am with, it depends on the sport. Like hockey, not so much because that's pretty back and forth. Football, Jamie's right. There's a ton of downtime. Baseball, same thing. There's a ton of downtime. And baseball is really helpful because, and the 0-2 pitch, you look up. Strike three. Okay, look down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like the guy's warning you when there's going to be action, and it facilitates your ability to be on your phone. Yeah, I mean, I'm addicted to my phone. I'm like any old 32-year-old.
You have a nomophobia?
Is that nomo?
Nomo.
I thought nomophobia is the addiction of
come on.
It's being without your phone.
Yeah, no, I probably do.
Nomophobia.
Because my phone died during the MLB trade deadline and I was freaking out. Not freaking out, but I was going to a movie and my phone died and I was like getting like itchy, like I was scratching my neck and asking anybody, "Yo, you got a charger? Like, let's go."
I love the
got cash for a charger.
I love the little button,
the back button.
The Comcast could turn off
to
the
do
internet.
What? Oh, whoa!
Talk about freaking out! You freak out a teenager. The internet's down. Internet's down. Oh, you're going to actually have to do something then that doesn't involve looking at a device. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
you're a sicko.
Loosen up.
You're a sicko.
Yeah, that is sick.
Driving crazy.
You're a monster.
Oh my gosh, well, I got to like put down my phone. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I have become that person that gets annoyed when people are looking at their phone so much. I don't.
Yes.
You know,
it's disrespectful, it's just, for one thing, like a lot of times.
We went to lunch yesterday, me and my boys from high school, and we're sitting there, and one of the guys owns his own business, and something happened at work, so he had to respond to something. And right away, I'm like, you're being ignorant, kidding around. And I knew he had a work problem, but we do. We put our phones
put
down.
Your phone
we,
away.
We don't look at them. We have enough going on being stupid idiots that we are laughing our asses off with each other than to have to look at our
phones. What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
That's right.
That was live audio from the lunch. Yeah. That was actually it.
That's right.
The okay, when all the guys get together, does one guy play Billy Big Balls and pay for it?
Yeah.
And then it's the next guy, it's his turn the next time?
Yeah.
How does that work out? And is it worked out in advance?
No, it's not worked out in advance. It's usually, I got it this week or I got it this week. Yesterday was my turn. We were hanging out. I went to the bathroom. One of the guys had to get up and leave. Rock.
Right.
And boom, he throws down and takes care of the bill. It kind of was like, we don't have official whose turns it is, but
amazingly, every time it's your turn, you go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
it's a professional move.
I will tell you that
bowel disorder comes up.
There is a couple that my wife likes that I will never go out to dinner with again.
Oh, he's got the alligator arms.
No,
goes to the bathroom.
You had
pays
okay,
all the time?
So you had. The,
oh no, no, no.
Okay, so you, I had the. Who had
no,
the? Yes,
no,
and I never. Never again.
No.
And I said, never again. It was so uncomfortable. It was like,
it's
okay,
awful.
You owe. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Slap your card down, split it in half. The bill, and shut up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he said, well, who had the, wait a minute, now you had, did Christina have, the, it made me so uncomfortable.
It's time for you to shut the
exactly.
As a server, a former server, if somebody ever did that to me where it was like, can you swipe this one for 85 and this one for 30? I just want to go take their check and punt it into the street.
We've never dined with. I said, look, I'll do anything.
Far.
I said, I'll interact with this couple again. I will never go out.
No,
with them ever again.
That's an immediate.
At that point.
Yeah,
that's just strange. Not right.
It's uncomfortable.
In Cooney's Corner, Bob has the ultimate what if, and maybe he has some info for us.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You know, I almost feel weird even bringing this up.
You
today.
Should. You should.
Yeah. And so, no, I'm not going to go big into numbers and what the record was with him or whatever. But Ricky Pitalico said yesterday if the Phillies had Rhys Hoskins, they'd be in first place.
Oh, jeez.
Because he agreed with me. I brought it up to
really?
Him.
Well, do you know the record with Rhys Hoskins?
Like, so how far away is this team? I mean, I know the Braves had injuries, and I know, look, all of these teams are playing around 500 ball. But one guy who wasn't having a great year, he was hitting some home runs and stuff.
He was on pace for 40 and 100.
Yeah. All right, so he was... He's your big,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. It is pretty good. But on the surface,
I think really
you say
good.
Rhys Hoskins, if he was in the lineup, you would have won the division?
Nope.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, nope.
That makes me think, like, maybe they're not that far off that they don't need all these unbelievable changes in this offseason
well,
to be relevant again next
I
year.
I think their problems are... Kind of like my golf game. All three phases never click at once. And
that's not bad.
At times, the starting pitching's been good, and then the bullpen's been bad. And then the offense is good, and then the bullpen's good, and the starting pitching sucks. This last month, the offense has been the problem. And if Rhys is there to at least protect Bryce and drive in some runs, I think you actually had your first shot at kind of clicking with all three. So I think
Rhys
that's
Hoskins.
The reason why I think they're a playoff team if he's here.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to just tell you that you just got to go to ESPN.com and just sort of scroll through it and do the wins and the losses. That is preposterous. Because Rhys Hoskins was a part of this team for a large portion of the season, and this team is exactly who they are right now.
Well, but
they're
offense
exactly
has been
who
their
they
problem.
Are. But guess what?
The last
all
three
year
weeks.
Long, they're exactly who they are.
I hear you, and I've been saying that all year, right?
They are who they are, and when Rhys Hoskins was there, they're exactly the same as they are now.
Only to make an argument here, Rhys Hoskins did not play with this Bryce Harper at all this year. Right? Bryce Harper's hitting at like a 350 clip over the last month.
He exited right when this sort of warm-up happened. Okay.
So you wonder, wow, if he had a real big bat behind him, which Hoskins was big bat, meaning home runs and RBIs. I wonder. You know, you wonder. If Rhys Hoskins was there and Bryce Harper's getting on base all the time like he is now, whether that would have made a big difference. As Ricky said, they would have been in first
place. Telling you, they were a 500-ish club when he was in there in games this year, and I have no reason to believe that this team would have changed.
I find it hard to believe it wouldn't have changed because he was one of their better players. And in his absence, they have boomer bust guy at first base or Matt Vierling. You know, it's Brad Miller, Matt Vierling. That's your first base combo. That's horrible. So you can't tell me that having Rhys Hoskins in there, the very least he gets on base.
He had 4 months of Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, you did, but to Bob's point, you had 4 months of Rhys, but Bryce wasn't doing what Bryce has done the last 2 months.
Okay, so you're believing, though, you guys are assuming that Rhys would have done Rhys-type things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like that Rhys wouldn't have gone away when he was out, because none of them were him.
At his worst is better than Brad Miller or Matt Vierling.
Correct.
Brad Miller's had a great year, but I agree with you. He's had a very that is a productive year
When you look at the year that he had this year.
But I would never take him over
compared to last year. He's had more at bats this year and about the same amount of home runs. He's having a Brad Miller type year.
I'd never take him over Rhys Hoskins. So you're absolutely correct on that. But I'm just saying you're counting on things would have all hit. They all would have hit. I'm not buying that. Yeah. Not with this team. Not with this outfit, as my mama would have said. Not with this outfit.
Yeah. A little bit of NFL breaking news.
What's that?
Super Wild Card Weekend. We all like it.
Yeah, Saturday, Sunday.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
They're going to add a Monday Night Football game to that Super Wild Card Weekend.
Wow. Wait a minute.
And I think it's dumb.
Why are you making people play a short week? Why
because the winner is going to get a shortened week.
On Sunday.
That's still a shortened week. In the postseason, everybody...
You want football every single night. That's all you want is football every night.
Awesome! You're going to play Saturday. They have Saturday games, too.
Now, you see, what I would say Friday.
So Sunday guys will play on Saturday. Still a short week.
Play two Fridays, two Saturdays, two Sundays.
Friday.
So how it is now, it's going to be two Saturday, three Sunday, and one Monday. Oh, dude, how could you criticize that?
It seems like a disadvantage.
I don't like it.
The Eagles are playing in it on Monday night,
Sunday guys play Saturday. That's a short week.
No, but during the postseason, you're trying to make it a more equitable system of it.
Yeah, but it will be because the divisional Saturday games, those who play on Sunday will play that Saturday. The winner on Monday will play on Sunday. So it's the same thing.
The math in my head. I can't do words. I can't do word math.
I'm really dumb right now. I had a bottle of red wine last
Friday.
Night.
Friday and Tuesday and one day. I'm lost.
That's easy to do.
The thing is, you followed that whole thing. You just rattled that off, and you followed it perfectly. I'm like quantum physics. I'm lost. I'm absolutely lost.
I love that stuff. I'm a schedule head. I love it, man.
By the way, heads up.
I guess you're right.
Heads up, and just a warning to our jury members. If you're not a contributor this week, I am expelling jury members.
Yeah, you should.
And I'll replace.
You should.
So jury members, if you wanted to be on the jury, you better contribute. What's that?
That's like not putting a lineup in on your fantasy.
Oh, that's a fine in our league.
It's the same thing.
$25 fine.
If you don't contribute, that means you didn't put your team roster.
You're affecting the whole league.
That's sort of like the people who show up for Christmas Eve mass and pile into we want to take over two pews and you haven't seen them all year. You have to see, it's like the one, you got to be loyal. You're picked into this. Oh, look at Anthony. He's like, wait a minute.
Anthony's
that
guy.
You can't do that. No, Anthony, you can't do that.
There's a grid action going on here.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I tell you.
Does Easter count?
We had a pastor that sold tickets, sold seating. For the Christmas Eve mass.
Really?
For the food bank.
Oh, okay.
That's cool, though.
That's cool.
So you did it. So when you showed up for Christmas Eve mass, you had your thing, you handed it over, they walked you up. You didn't have you had guaranteed seats, but not assigned seats. But then they donated all the money to the food bank.
That's awesome.
So all the Christmas and Easters all showed up and realized, wait a minute, we're in the back? Yeah, you're in the back or you're standard.
Oh, listen, I like that. I got no problem being the standard.
No. Why you can leave early.
Pat wants
to duck out leave after early.
Communion. Yeah. How much are season tickets?
No, wait, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Anthony, everybody sees you get out.
Am I there?
Everybody knows Anthony.
Get your pie up your ass.
It's like gritty. It's like Anthony shows up for mass. It's like there's kids looking, there's dads looking, there's people waving.
No, but I just go kickoff.
Yeah, there's football to get to.
I go kickoff.
No. Listen, what am I going to stay? The final play? Go in peace. I'm going in peace. I got it.
I've done this a million times.
I love it.
I know where to go.
My man.
Later.
God bless.
Patron saint of the yo.
Who do you want to give a yo to? You see that. You never had the priest call you out like that? As Anthony's here. Anthony, who we want to give a yo to today? Up in the choir loft, we want to give them a yo.
Let's give them a yo.
They gave a big yo.
They come here to Church Bulletin, and you give a yo to Johnny K's Deli.
There it is.
Johnny K's, that was my college bar.
Oh, yeah?
Johnny K's was?
Yeah, I need a shirt. The bar. They're no longer that. They're the library now or something.
Oh, jeez.
They try to get fancy.
Cooney's Corner.
Yes.
Dry cleaning.
Oh, man. That is... yeah. I like that idea, though.
I like that idea.
It works out. If any parishes want to turn their over to us, we'll turn Jamie Frankel. We'll get all the advertising in there. We'll cross-reference.
Be perfect.
Today in the linchpin, did you know that he turned the 6 loaves and 2 fishes and fed all these people?
St. George took down the dragon.
I like that caller who said, you know, Jamie's a
rising star.
Yeah, but he said he had a great... Jamie's got flair.
Jamie's got flair.
All right, the O'Malley's are coming to move today because...
I love the O'Malley brothers.
And the boys are going to have... They'll be there.
That's a good name, O'Malley.
They're going to be there at 11.
Trust in O'Malley.
I trust
him.
Yes!
There it is, right?
I trust in O'Malley.
Yeah, damn right.
Well, that's exactly it. I got mad trust in the O'Malley.
They're going to have Cuz on in the moving van.
Oh, my.
Mimi Day.
I love
it. They're
going
to have Cuz Radio on today.
I love it.
Just don't drop anything.
There we go.
They're going to do
those great. Dudes.
They're the best.
I already know they're going
to
be great.
Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning, and Father Anthony Gargano, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives.
Is this crossover going to end soon?
It did. It finally ended. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back with you on Monday, and it will be game day. Monday. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic.
Biggest game of week 3. It's Monday night. It's Philly. It's Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. I think this might be a little bit high scoring. I think Dallas will put some points on the board and Philly will have to come back, and that way they'll put the ball in the air a lot. Small line, 3.5, 51.5 over under. I like the over. Also, you can do individual team. The Eagles over under is 24. You might want to grab one of them. Offers like this are just one of the reasons I love betting football on FanDuel, the number one rated sportsbook app in America. Sign up with promo code Bob this week before Philly takes on Dallas, and you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. That's promo code Bob. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.